much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What up, folks? This is Cooper Delicious with the Music 103, and we're jamming to this crazy listening pleasures music. Boy, is it chilly out tonight. This is a time of year together with a guy or girl and get loose and hang. So, less about this talking I'm doing, and let's continue on with the music.
And now,
enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday play!
Our feature presentation.
Wait, that's not how it went.
That's how I remember it. That sounds right.
Oh, it's a wedding day. Can you guys feel it?
Tomorrow, you mean?
Well, tonight. Our time tonight.
Yes. Okay.
You know, middle of the night.
I had that moment where I thought, oh, it's this morning, and I ran to the TV, and then I realized, no, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just flip it on and
I had
watch
that same
a little.
Thought, and then I didn't even think of going to the TV.
I'm not taping it.
Oh,
don't
yes,
get me
you
wrong.
Are.
No.
We're going to do the TiVo police. We're going to come over and check out your TiVo, and if you've got the wedding on it, you're gone.
Whatever I can squeeze in between 4 and 4:30, that's it.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Dedication. Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
It is Thursday. It is the 28th of April, Ingus. Donald Trump is a comedy sideshow, right?
Yes. Of course. At best.
He? Leading the polls, comedy sideshow, that kind of comedy sideshow?
Yeah, but leading the polls a year and a half, 2 years out, so what?
Yesterday, he was taking all the credit. I don't know if you saw his remarks after the president released his birth certificate. He talked about how proud he was of himself and how he was able to do something that no one else has been able to do. And that, you know, the Clintons tried to get Obama to release his birth certificate and his campaign tried to get him to release his birth certificate. And only Donald Trump was able to do it, which is just so funny to me because you would think that a normal person at this point would be embarrassed that he's been basically out there for 3 months talking about how he doesn't think President Obama was born in the United States, yet he's now taking credit for the thing that happened that proved him to be a bag of hot air who was wrong about everything he said.
So instead of saying, I was 100% wrong, he
yes.
said, look at what I accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Now that takes a certain, I guess maybe he is a politician if he's able to pull that off.
Well,
he's able to say those things.
He certainly could be the lying side of the politician, no question.
So then when the birth certificate was released to everybody yesterday morning, it took, I don't know, 15 minutes before this conspiracy theorist started getting together to say, yeah, but is it real?
Yeah.
And now instead of the birthers, now we have the certers, who are the people who say that it hasn't been certified yet as being real. And they have all these questions about how it's obviously Photoshopped. And
this is why you don't release it, by the way, because it won't. It
won't slow anybody down.
It won't convince anybody that just wants to believe otherwise. What's the point?
So in other words, all the people who were out there who said, I think he was born in Kenya, none of them were convinced by the birth certificate being released yesterday because now they just transfer their attention to, yeah, but that's just obviously a forgery?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would guess most.
I think so.
I would guess most of them, yeah.
Here's just one guy who runs a conservative blog, patriotboy.blogspot.com.
He needs to die just based on his name.
You can bet the Obamianist usurper is laughing his ass off today, not simply because he fooled the, and this is going to be a tough word to say, media slum unisto fascists.
Yeah, those people.
With his phony, forged birth certificate, but because he taunted them with the truth by putting clues about his real identity in the document. But only I, Orly, Pamela, and a host of other true patriots know better. Look closely at this so-called birth certificate, and you'll – now, this is my favorite part. You'll see the names Barack Hussein and Obama form a perfect outline of an Islamic crescent. So, in other words, if you draw – if you take a pen and draw from where it says Hussein at the top of the birth certificate to where it says Obama at the bottom and then do it again, then you draw a little crescent on the birth certificate.
Right.
Now let's add a map of Kenya and tilt it so its longest axis touches each horn of the crescent and then run a line from the word Kenya on the birth certificate through the city of Nairobi
now,
on the map.
Why are we doing all that?
Because we're proving that there are hidden clues to the president's real identity in the birth certificate and that he was taunting us by forging a birth certificate.
Oh, that's pretty bold.
And then intentionally putting clues in so that he could laugh at us. All right, let me read that again.
All right.
You add a map of Kenya. And by the way, this is starting to sound like Louis Farrakhan, right?
No. Yes.
You add a map of Kenya, tilt it so its longest axis touches each horn of the crescent, which you remember we drew from drawing on the birth certificate with the words Barack Hussein Obama. Then you run a line from the word Kenya on the birth certificate through the city of Nairobi on the map, and it points straight to the word African, which is what they have filled in for the father's race because he was, of course, African. And by the way, that's a whole nother thing that a lot of people are saying that that proves that this is a fake, because in 1961 they would have written colored or Negro. They wouldn't have written African is what they claim.
This makes the Da Vinci Code look like basic math.
Also, Patriot Boy goes on, by decoding the file number 151, which must be a number on the certificate somewhere, using a simple number code, we find that it translates to AEA, sounding more and more like Farrakhan every day.
Yeah.
The abbreviation for the Alliance of Egyptian Americans, an organization of people from the most Muslim part of Kenya.
Wow.
I'm sure there's much more to be found, blah, 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 blah. Please send whatever you have, blah, 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 blah. I'll post it. And I mean, you can just, there's just, I would say at least dozens, maybe hundreds of people online saying, well, the background doesn't look like it would have in 1961, and it's too seamless for a volume that was kept in the, you know, in a bound volume in a book. There are smudges on it that we can't explain. And here's my favorite. The doctor who signed the document conveniently died 8 years ago.
Oh, how convenient.
Now, if he was a doctor working at a hospital in 1961.
That's just what they'd say, Bean.
I'm not really surprised that that somebody working back then at that age would have already passed away in 2011. Are you?
I'm looking at the Washington Monument, 555 feet high. But if we put a 1 in front of that 555 feet,
we
get 1555, year that our first fathers landed on the shores of Jamestown, Virginia.
Yeah, it sounds just like them.
It does, right? The type for Caucasian under the mother's race is too perfect. It's not possible for a typewriter from 1961. The signature of the mother and the attending nurse on the birth certificate are too similar. Under the hour of birth, the M in PM is a different font. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
That's why you can't try to make these people happy, because these people don't exist without this anger and this conspiracy.
Yeah, there's not a single
thing you can do. It doesn't matter if the doctor that had made the delivery was there, if they had video of it, nothing would convince
if they
them.
Had video of a guy with the newspaper in his hand,
yes,
with that date on it, and they could prove that it was in Hawaii, they would say, yeah, but they got video that makes it look like aliens were found,
yes,
too.
It's ridiculous.
So anyway, it was good times seeing how that played out yesterday. And a lot of people were disappointed that the president even you know, took it seriously enough to release the birth certificate. Why not just ignore those people because they're fringe? And why not ignore those people because, you know, they're a distraction on a lot of other, this is what some people are saying, it's a distraction on the real issues, so let them be out there festering, you know?
I agree with all of that, by the way. All of the above.
Crazy.
I just think you can't make those people happy, so you just move right on.
Yeah.
Oh, why do you call them those people? Huh? Now you're racist.
Not racist, conspiracy theorist, Bean. Come on now. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Now, what's going on in football? They're having a draft.
I guess.
And then they're not going to have a season? They are going to have a season? I don't know.
Well, I guess the court involved ruled in favor of the players, but the league is appealing, and there's some questions about when camps will open up and what's happening. But I think it's an ongoing story. We don't know how yet it's going to play out.
So for the NFL Network, we've got Rich Eisen, and hopefully he'll be able to give us a little bit of insight as to that. For those of us that don't like baseball, you know, you're stuck with it for about 2 months before football comes along. And then football's so sweet when it comes around. They start doing those, you know, the HBO show and training camp and all that stuff, Hard Knocks. But they better not take that away from us. I might die. Also, Adam Scott on the program today. He's in studio. He's, of course, from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
We have John Lovitz, comedian, in the studio. We have another rousing game of Who's the Hero, which, by the way, scared me yesterday. Those people were unbelievably knowledgeable when it comes to this.
Kevin hates knowledge, by the way. This is one thing you'll learn about him if you listen to the program.
No. I didn't say hate. I said it scared me.
I know, but you get nervous around people who know stuff.
Well,
just in general.
That is true. And for rightfully so, because I know nothing. Royal wedding coverage?
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Less than 24 hours.
Up to the minute. We've got it all covered for you.
What do you suppose Kate's doing right now, guys?
Anything you need to know about. Last night I had to watch, I forget the name of it. It was an NBC special.
Inside the Royal Wedding.
That's what it was, Inside the Royal Wedding, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, there are two Game 7s on tonight in hockey playoffs. And I, the person who hates the Royal Wedding the most, have to watch a full hour of Matt Lauer talk and Meredith Vieira talking to a flower girl that used to be in Princess Diana's wedding and a florist that might or might not have anything to do with the wedding. I mean, it just went on and on. I don't understand.
Was Meredith still talking about the hat that she's going to wear tomorrow?
Yes, she's very worried. Apparently, everyone's worried about the hat they're going to wear.
Okay,
you have to wear a hat.
Apparently.
I guess that's what they're saying. And you can't have it look like anyone else's. So what a quandary. So we might have to find a hat today as well. That may have to be a search that we
there
go
you
on.
Go.
And extreme couponing. Now, that's the TV show right there. That's the one.
Those people. They're crazy, but they're amazing, too.
They're looking forward to hearing about it.
They just hand them right over to the hoarding people. They just say, hey, let's feature them getting the stuff, and then here you go, hoarding. Take that show over. So that's coming this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it
part
is,
A!
It is 551.
Part A! What comes before part B?
Partay.
What's going on with Ralph Garman today? Ralph
partying.
Is rarely this pleased.
Very excited.
Partying.
What's going on in your life, Ralph, that's making you so happy?
Just partying.
He's partying.
Fun.
Someone throw you a life raft or something like that? You're getting off the sinking ship. Usually the only time we see you happy is if you think you're able to leave the show.
No.
The Flyers are doing well, though. That's
Flyers
what he's
doing
excited.
Well.
Yeah. Got that going.
Pens have been eliminated.
Sure. That helps.
That helps a lot. So it's good times. Good times in America.
Did you hear that the doctor who signed the birth certificate is dead, Ralph? Therefore, it must be fake.
It is fake, by the way. Look at it. Look at the crescent moon of Islam and the Kenyan map that you can draw. If you take all the letters and you rearrange them.
Why do you do that, though?
It spells out, this is a map of Kenya. Communism rules.
Communism?
Yeah.
Odd.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
It's funny that the same letters that they use in the birth certificate, you can take those exact letters and write out the Quran with them. So, I mean, that's more proof.
Proof.
So obvious. All right, well, let's move on to other things that are fake as Ralph reports on what's going on in Hollywood.
The
Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Abbott Show.
Sir.
What's happening?
Only sometimes they're fake and we don't know it.
Neither do I, by the way.
Yeah.
I just read what they put in front of me. Michael Jackson will soon have a new home in Las Vegas.
Oh, good. Well, he was dead.
He is dead.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino is putting together a massive entertainment complex that will include a lounge, an interactive memorabilia museum, and a theater all dedicated to Michael's legacy.
Is he going to be an entertainer like Elvis, who people will rediscover generation after generation in love and worship and travel from all over the world just to see his things, do you think, Ralph?
I believe so, yes.
I think so, yes, too.
I think his fandom, his initial fandom, will certainly carry on his memory and his legacy, and then there will be generations that come afterwards, like the Beatles, like Elvis, who discover that music for themselves, and they will equally become obsessed. He was one of the great entertainers of all time.
Yeah, hard to argue.
Apparently, there's a new Cirque du Soleil show featuring the music of Michael Jackson that is opening at that hotel and casino in 2013.
And they're putting everything on black, aren't they?
How dare you, you racist
Come
bastard.
Come on, it's a...
You racist
no,
bastard.
It's a gambling thing.
I'm not sure I can continue with this report at this point.
It's a...
I am offended, sir.
You gamble, right?
I am personally
offended.
But
our association with somebody who would talk like that really demeans us.
That's right.
Talking about gambling demeans you.
In case the lawyers are listening, I am offended, and I did not approve that message.
Race wasn't even a consideration when Ralph brought the story up, but
no,
Kevin had
wasn't.
To go there.
And race is never a consideration. I talk about Michael Jackson, by the way.
I can't believe Bean would say that.
Because I don't believe he was black. So
that's
there
true.
You go.
That's a good point.
Speaking of racism, could be worse. Look, we've got our own problems here with this particular show, with our lawyers, with what we can say and what we can't say?
Sure.
With Kevin being all racist and
how
all?
How dare you?
Guy in England, performer in England, has it even worse. Police in England have arrested a singer for singing Kung Fu Fighting. The apparent charge is racism.
What?
And racial abuse.
No way.
Wait, please explain.
Apparently a man of Chinese descent walked into the bar where the man's band was performing on the Isle of Wight. And they were singing Kung Fu Fighting as he walked into the bar.
Okay.
This man of Chinese descent told police he was subjected to racial abuse by that song.
What?
The Asian man reportedly walked in with his mother. They heard that song. He cursed at the band in front of the audience, gave them the finger, and then took a photo of the band with his cell phone so he could complain to police.
That'll prove it.
Maybe so he was saying they sang that song to make fun of him because he was of Asian descent.
That's what he
claims. That's why they chose that song.
A singer was then later arrested by police while he was eating dinner at, wait for it, a Chinese restaurant. He was arrested and released, but police intend to question him further at a later date.
Where is this?
This is on...
It's funny, because it's racist.
The Isle of Wight, which is a little island off of England where people vacation and
all right.
It's a resort.
I love it. I think it's funny.
Kung Fu Fighting, racial abuse.
That is racist.
Hey, I don't have any doubt that that's why they did it, but I think it's hilarious that they did it, and I think the guy's ridiculous to claim that he had his feelings hurt by it.
You think the band is like, hey, guys, an Asian is coming.
Asian
Let's
dude.
Do, what makes fun of Asians?
Oh, I don't know.
Kung Fu Fighting.
Yeah, that's it.
but have the theme from Shaft standing by in case there's a black guy that comes in next.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
By the way, anytime you get to hear Kung Fu Fighting, just count your blessings. That's all I say. Just thank your maker that you were able to be in a room where Kung Fu Fighting was being played. One of the great all-time Carl Douglas songs.
It certainly is.
He says that in the song.
He does say that.
Does the Kung Fu Fighting right there in the song. Kendra Wilkinson of Dancing with the Stars says she is more and more frustrated with the judges on that program because they keep encouraging her to be more elegant as she dances. She says that simply is not who she is.
And she's on the wrong show.
She says she thinks it's a fake word. Elegance.
It's a fake word.
I think that's her own cute sort of inarticulate way of saying it cannot apply to her because of her basic nature. She's incapable of being elegant.
Because she says she's a tomboy, right?
She says she's a tomboy that likes to fart and spit. Oh, she's a catch. She's a delicate little flower.
That is sweet.
It's nothing worse than when hot girls just talk about how they like to fart and spit and stuff.
Because they're so not girly.
Yeah. It's like that whole Jenny McCarthy phenomenon. Look at me.
I can make a funny face.
Be quiet. Take your clothes off.
What is wrong with this woman?
And we get angry at beautiful women when they say, oh, I feel so insecure and I'm so ugly and I'm not pretty and I was a geek in high school and no one took me to the prom and it's hard to be me and I hate my thighs, and we get angry at those women when they complain.
I hate my thighs.
We hate when beautiful people don't acknowledge they're beautiful.
Yeah.
However, do we also hate when beautiful people do acknowledge they're beautiful?
A little bit.
Yes. Yes, we do.
I think we hate both.
Interesting list from In Touch magazine of quotes from three particular women who said the following. Leanne Rimes recently tweeted, "It's so sweet when a three-year-old climbs into bed and asks, 'Why are you so pretty?'" By the way, Leanne Rimes, that kid needs be taken to an eye doctor.
hasn't been exposed to a lot of other women, I guess.
That kid should have his vision checked. Leanne Rimes, with your giant horse teeth and your swollen shut eyes. January Jones said recently in an interview, "The bitches in high school were bitches because I was pretty." Which may be true, and yet I don't know if we want to hear her say that.
Right.
And lastly, Megan Fox said, "I'm just really confident sexually. It oozes out of my pores," regarding her sexuality. Again, maybe true.
Yeah. She usually says the opposite of that stuff, though.
I know. I'm saying she can't win with us. We're rough.
I didn't see the voice. I did tape it. But apparently there was quite a moment on there, you know, because the judges, I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but the judges have their backs turned to the folks who are auditioning to be on the show.
That's revolutionary.
And apparently there was a very pretty contestant who was just almost broke down in tears on the stage because she had been, you know, put through or gonged or buzzed or whatever they do on that show. And they weren't able to see her. And she said, I get everywhere because of my looks and people always treat me differently because I'm so pretty and blah, 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 blah. And you don't know how much this means to me to be judged on my voice alone when you can't see me and on and on and on. Apparently it was quite a thing.
Sweet. Yeah, I did see that.
Face full of acid. That'll fix
it. Is that accurate? Is that the
way? And I'm such a good catching. Like, people think, like, I'm surfacey or whatever, but I think when it comes down to it, just, like, the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when, because of the way I look, you know, and I mean, it sounds, like, so stupid, but, like, people hate me because I'm beautiful.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be beautiful.
It was pretty accurate, being.
It is hard to be beautiful.
How hot was she, Lisa?
She's pretty hot. Yeah.
I love that,
but
though.
No one will take her seriously.
I
but
do love that.
On American Idol,
especially
though,
in the entertainment industry, it's so hard when you're beautiful to get work.
It is, yeah.
On Idol, though, curse. Ralph, and you remember this, Randy and Steven are ready to put them through before they've even sung if they're hot enough.
Yes, absolutely. As well they should, by the way.
Look, she's not trying to be a nuclear physicist.
Huh?
She's not trying to be a nuclear physicist. She's trying to be an entertainer. We like our entertainers beautiful. Just shut up and sing, monkey. Sing. Sing and dance, monkey. Speaking of The Voice, a lot of people watched. 6.8 million people watched the premiere. Of the much-coveted age group of the 18 to 49-year-olds, which is advertisers' main target audience, that was more than any other program on Tuesday, so they did very well. Now the question remains to be seen if they will come back for the next episode or whether they'll go back to Dancing with the Stars or Glee, which also was during that time
period. Wow, tough time slot to put them on opposite those shows.
Yeah, but they beat them. Glee, Voice beat Glee and Dancing with Stars results show, I think.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Tonight Show host Jay Leno is 61. Actress Mary McDonnell, is 58. Singer-bassist Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth also turns 58. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 40th birthday. Jorge Garcia of Lost is 38. Penelope Cruz is 37. Jessica Alba celebrates her 30th birthday.
What a day.
Today. This is Dave's addition to the birthday list, by the way.
You don't have to read it. You know that.
Mike Chang from Glee. Harry Shum Jr. is 29. Dave's, like, fascinated with Mike Chang.
They're Twitter friends. That's why.
What?
The guy who dances on Glee. The Asian guy who doesn't really sing that much. He just dances a lot.
Uh-huh.
I tuned in the other day just briefly. I can't watch Glee anymore. I can't get through an episode. But he was dancing with a broom or something the other day. Dave loves him.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I love Mick Chong. And speaking of Glee, Jenna Ushkowitz.
Oh.
Which one is she?
She's the Asian girl.
Oh.
Her character, Tina Cohen-Chang from Glee. She's 25.
She's the one who told us on our show that no one had ever heard of Don't Stop Believin' before Glee came on the air.
What?
I think that's true. I think that's accurate.
Had they heard of Kung Fu Fighting before Glee? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be talking about what new line of work he's going to be going into when there's no season in about 4 months. So that should be interesting. First, though, Royal Wedding will be gone. We'll be over. We'll be done. We'll be history.
No, I can't wait.
By the time we come on the show tomorrow.
Can't wait.
William and Kate are going to be married, and then we can turn our attention to wondering when they're going to start having kids, because that's going to be the topic of conversation for the next year.
William and Kate will already be miserable by the time we get on the air tomorrow.
I don't know. I mean, I think that was probably true for Charles and Diana, but this is a couple that's been together on and off, mostly on, for what, 9 years or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they actually are a young couple who are in love and want to be married to each other, and it's not just let's go through the motions because we're... You know, I'm the prince.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't followed it that closely.
Although I did hear yesterday, and I'm not trying to seek out the coverage because I'm as burned out on the coverage as everybody
it's
else.
It's impossible to not stumble across
it. It's impossible to miss. I did hear somebody say yesterday they had spotted Kate running errands the day before, and they said, even 2 days before the wedding, Kate Middleton is still driving herself around.
Yeah.
And I thought, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
She's driving herself around.
Does it mean that she won't ever drive
Correct.
Again once she becomes the princess? So she hasn't already kind of started having a chauffeur full time? Is that what they mean?
She gets driven around in a horse and buggy full time. Last night's Access Hollywood, they sure did have a scoop, and they sure were trying to compare Kate to Princess Diana.
Welcome to the world-famous Kensington High Street, better known as the old stomping ground of the late, great Princess Diana.
Okay, so you see what they're doing. They're going back to a street that Princess Diana used to go to when she was alive.
But we're going to show you just how much in common brand-new bride-to-be Kate Middleton has with the very much-loved Princess Di.
Notice how it changed from Princess Diana to Princess Di. That's what's going to happen, because the royal family will kill you.
What is the desperation to compare the two women? I mean, do you want somebody, do you want your fiancé to constantly be compared to your mother?
No. No, but I don't know. I just think they're trying to find some kind of angle to talk about it some more. I have no idea. So then this guy's talking about one of the bookstores.
Now our next stop is Waterstones, the bookstore. So let's pop inside and find out exactly why it's so significant for Kate Middleton. Well, Kate likes to peruse these shelves to pick out books that she can take back to Wales. Oh. Princess Diana used to pop into this store to pick up her glossy magazine favourites like Elle and Vogue. However, if you want to see Kate, don't expect her to be in a disguise. I spotted her right here, picking up a book all about the British band Coldplay.
No, you didn't.
Wow, that is a scoop. I want to make sure I understand. The reason the bookstore is so significant in Kate's life is because that's where she goes to buy books.
Yes.
Right? That's what they said. This is where she comes to buy books. That's why it's so significant.
Tomorrow on Access Hollywood, the gold standard in entertainment news. The royal exclusives roll on. Only we have Princess Diana's longtime hairdresser on.
Yep, that happened.
Well, now ABC, remember, has locked up Princess Diana's bridesmaid, so they can't touch her. She's exclusive to ABC.
No, but they have Princess Di's hairdresser being.
They got the hairdresser, so there you go.
That is a scoop. Last night, on NBC, they had an hour special, and it was all about the wedding. And I challenge you to understand what the woman is saying at the end of this clip.
On April 29th, 2011, the world will witness an astonishing event.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I heard Thursday.
Wait, what?
I heard Thursday. That's the clip they started with.
Let me hear that again.
All right, good luck.
Witness an astonishing event.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, how about get somebody that doesn't mumble?
How about that? That's a heavy accent right there.
Do they you know, it's a couple of days before the wedding, so this special probably brings you all the goods. They get all the good information, like the dress, what's going to happen with the dress.
We need a few secrets in life. If everything's in the newspapers every day, there's no excitement. It'll be,
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the guy they talked to about the fact that the dress is going to be a secret.
The moment Kate steps out of the car at Westminster Abbey, it's important that nobody knows what it is, because everyone, no matter who you are, you want to be, oh my God, look at that, isn't it wonderful? The excitement of it. I mean, so everyone's going to feel like that.
Overruled!
If I got an email right now with pictures of the dress, I wouldn't open it.
It's important that it be a secret, B.
Who cares what the dress looks
like?
Everybody!
Who cares?
Lisa, do you care? You're sort of a chick.
Well, when I turn the TV on tomorrow morning at 4, I would like to see the dress.
Like her predecessors, when Kate Middleton steps from her car just before 11 a.m., she'll reveal what millions around the world are desperate to see, and the wedding's most closely guarded secret.
Yeah, that's her dress. So, again, NBC is in England, in London, to tell us that there's no information on the dress.
That's right.
That's the information that's being put out right now, is that
information. That's why it's important that they set aside an hour of primetime programming for this special last night on NBC.
The security operation is estimated to cost $32 million. Snipers will be placed on rooftops.
Oh, I wonder if they could take out the Queen.
Now, wait a minute.
That'd be
wait
awesome, wouldn't it?
Don't say that.
No, I didn't mean that. Bean? So, we're in London. We got to give you some details. So, what about the flowers?
The exact details of the floral arrangements to be used during the ceremony are shrouded in mystery.
All right. Well, no details on the flowers.
Of course they are.
What are you there to tell me about?
I suppose that poor Prince William and Catherine will be obliged to kiss.
Okay, now this is when they come out on the balcony afterwards. Right. And everybody says, kiss, kiss. And what do they do? What if they don't kiss?
whether they like it or not, because otherwise there'll be leaders in the newspaper discussing the non-kiss or whatever, but the pressure will be on.
Yes, it will.
That Why kind of pressure. Wouldn't? They're gonna, their knees are going to buckle under that pressure.
Well, the truth is that I think this may have something to do with how awkwardly Prince Charles and Diana kissed. I mean, they look like that was the first time they'd ever kissed in their lives when they kissed on that
balcony. It was worse than that. Prince Charles had never kissed a woman in his life.
Yeah, maybe so.
Before that moment, yeah. And finally, there's this dude who says that it is just everybody, no matter who you are, is going to be wrapped up and fascinated by this wedding.
I think the incredible thing about the royal wedding is that even the most hardened lefty cannot resist its lure.
It's lure.
Oh, my.
Even the most hardened lefty cannot resist its lure. It's lure.
That's awesome.
I think the incredible thing about the royal wedding is that even the most hardened lefty cannot resist its lure. And you will find people who vow to themselves and to their families and to their friends that they have no interest in the royal family. They are staunch Republicans. They will not only be glued to the TV sets, they will probably be buying a Kate and Will's mug.
Overruled!
Well, they say maybe up to 2 billion people will be watching the ceremony.
I'm not kidding. Yesterday I heard 500 million, and then I heard 3 billion.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's just taking a stab in the dark. You know who one of them is not going to be? No matter what that last guy says? Me.
Might it be you? You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph Garman is here with another look at the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Scary times we live in. When people trust celebrities more than their doctors.
Oh, no.
Yeah. University of Michigan study found that while most parents relied on their child's doctors for accurate health information, a tremendous amount, 24%, trusted celebrities when it came to raising their own children to some extent.
Meaning they read about how they did it or something like that?
Yes.
And then followed, patterned?
Yes.
Wow.
This largely comes from the whole Jenny McCarthy thing. Jenny McCarthy has written a book about how vaccinations give your kids autism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She has a kid with autism.
Actually, she doesn't.
Oh, I thought she did.
She had said she did for some time. And then finally, in a 2010 interview with Time magazine, she admitted that her son never had autism.
What?
That he was eventually diagnosed with a different disorder. However, she continues to speak out against vaccinations.
Well, then the vaccination didn't give him autism at all.
Well, vaccinations don't give anyone autism.
Right, right.
The guy who founded this bogus study years ago, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, his research has been completely discredited.
And even he admits that he made it up for the money, basically,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. The Autism Speaks and the Autism Society says there is no known cause for autism, but they're currently researching a combination of genetics and environmental factors, perhaps to find a reason. But she wrote a book that is still wildly popular, and 24% of parents studied by the University of Michigan said they turned to celebrity parents to use them as a guide for how to raise their own children.
Okay, that's shocking.
It's insane.
I mean, even if you did it, would you tell anyone that? Wouldn't you deny it publicly?
I would never fill out that poll and right. say yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Jenny, by the way, wrote a book about how she cured her son of autism using a diet that removed heavy metals from his body.
Oh, no.
Why don't you just get a guy with some chicken bones and, you know.
Cast a spell?
Yeah. Get him under a full moon and say the right incantation while lighting some sage, for God's sakes. So, I thought that was a disturbing study. However, I've got good news, too.
Yes?
Earlier in the week, I talked about the fact that it was officially announced this week they're starting production on Piranha 3 Double D.
All
the
right.
sequel to Piranha 3D, one of our favorite movies of last year.
Sounds awesome.
Star Kelly Brook? She
died in the last one, Kevin.
They brought people back. Come on now.
Danielle Panabaker will star in this one, along with my buddy Dave Koechner, also going to be in the film. But just added today, as if it wasn't enough, it's going to be a sequel to Piranha 3D. Piranha 3 Double D will star Gary Busey!
Yeah!
Gary Busey!
What?
Gary Busey! Don't write a script. Just turn on the camera, I'm saying. Just let Gary be Gary.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Oh, Gary Busey.
Don't forget that. If you forget it, I'm going to come get you and take out your garbage for a week.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
There is that.
He starts taking out your garbage. You don't know what's going to happen next.
Quite a threat.
Craziness.
It sure is. Allison Hannigan says she and her husband, Alexis Denisov, have hit the jackpot when it comes to their daughter, Satyana, because she is so good and well-behaved, she says. Well, I'm going to learn how she did it and use her as my celebrity parent guide.
Sure.
Meanwhile, in the same story, they talk about how Suri Cruz has become almost uncontrollable.
Hard to believe.
Hmm.
What about those vitamins?
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' kid. Insiders say they pretty much lost control of their four-year-old. Constant tantrums.
Sweet.
Just going off all the time. Almost uncontrollable, this four-year-old.
She's going to be on that ship within 6 months if she's not careful.
You're not going to hear from her again when she's down in Long Beach trapped in a cargo hold.
Now, I don't know much about Scientology child rearing, but is that part of their thing, Ralph, is to let them do their thing and find their own way?
Pretty much, yeah.
Don't impose the man and his rules on them?
Yeah. Sources close to the couple say they keep the baby up too late, keep the child up too late, which causes her to be tired a lot during the day, and they feed her at all different times. No real schedule for this kid, and she's
good.
All over the place.
Good.
Well, I'm going to use them as my celebrity guides for how to raise
there
my child. Then that sounds.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's true.
That is Scientology.
Katie Holmes. Speaking of Katie, she has won her lawsuit against American Media, publisher of Star Magazine. The actress sued the company last month after Star Magazine made insinuations that she is on drugs.
Well, I mean, the headline of the Star was Katie Holmes in drug shocker. So if you wanted to interpret it that way, that maybe she had dabbled in drugs, that's on you.
Star Magazine published an apology this week. They say they're sorry for any misperception. They didn't mean to suggest she was a drug addict.
No, that's not what it sounded like at all.
Just because they were insinuating that she was addicted to drugs. And they gave a substantial donation to her personal charity, which I'm guessing is the Katie Holmes Fund for Handbags and Shoes. She is pleased everything has been solved amicably, Katie says, and she accepts their apology.
I wonder how much they gave her.
She needed it.
I think it was the principle more than anything.
And at this
else.
Point, couldn't you argue that nobody believes anything the tabloids say anyway? So there's what's
or
the real
some
damage?
People believe everything the tabloids say. You could argue that equally.
Those people are dumb. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jay Leno is 61 years old today. Actress Mary McDonnell is 58, as is Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth. Bridget Moynihan is 40 years old. Jorge Garcia of Lost. He can currently be seen on Mr. Sunshine, the Matthew Perry sitcom on ABC. He's 38. Penelope Cruz is 37. Jessica Alba, she's going to have another baby. She's going to be a mom. Again, she is 30 years old.
How does she parent?
I'm going to find out.
I'm
going to find out, and then I'm going to do exactly what she does. Changing my daughter's name to Honor. In her honor. And from Glee, Harry Shum Jr. and Jenna Ushkowitz are both celebrating birthdays today. He is 29. She is 25.
That's a weak bell.
That is the weakest bell we've ever had, I think.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, congratulations to Foo Fighters for having the number one album in America this week. It's been a long time since I've seen a rock record be at number one. And they're at number one at the top of the charts in a dozen countries or something like that. So rock is not completely dead. It's just on life support. And P. Diddy has his foot on our neck. That's what's happening so far. But well done. We got some Green Day on the way, also Linkin Park and more. Producer Dave is furiously dialing to try to get our guest, Rich Eisen. We're going to be talking to him, hopefully, just in a few minutes here about the NFL draft, which kicks off today, and also what's going on with the NFL lockout. So Rich is the man to go to. But, you know, Producer Dave, it's 50-50 whether we get any of our guests.
I don't know.
Week.
It's just ringing. It's not my fault.
Not my fault.
That gives us a little bit of time to try and figure this out.
On April 29th, 2011, the world will witness an astonishing event.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
All right, now, that was the beginning of the NBC coverage last night.
Okay.
That woman who's completely, you can't understand a single word but Thursday.
Who is she, by the way?
I don't know. Just, you know.
I mean, was that her only appearance on the show, or did she come back later to try to tell us something
about
the
royal
wedding?
She may have been the Queen's cousin. I don't, it's hard to follow those stupid shows.
Well, usually they identify
who's on the... but they talk to so many different people. When that clip was on, they didn't identify her, because I was like,
okay,
that's got to be me. I got to turn it back up and hear it again.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Now, I think she says Queen.
I think so, too.
and Thursday. Now, that's all I have, though. Queen and Thursday.
Yeah.
Right?
Play it. Actually, fell in love. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I thought I heard, like, fell in love or...
On Thursday?
Right in the beginning.
But why would she say Thursday, by the way? Because the wedding's Friday.
Right.
So why would she say Thursday?
Maybe she was talking about something the Queen was doing on Thursday
in
preparation.
Did she say fell in line?
Actually, fell in love. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I don't think she's saying
anything.
I don't think she's saying anything.
What kind of software do we have at our disposal for slowing it down?
Oh,
is that something we can do?
Yeah, possibly.
I think so, but it would take a little bit of time. We'll have to do a little bit later.
We couldn't do it here, okay.
I don't think so.
Actually, fun enough. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
She says Queen and Thursday. I know that.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see this, and you didn't notice who she is or where she's from, or even if they even identified her, but that is a very specific accent for people in certain parts of the British Isles, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have somebody listening who is from there or is familiar with that accent and is able to decode that for us. And I'd love to hear from that person at 1-800-520-1067. If you speak whatever this lady's speaking, please tell us what she's saying because this is crazy.
All right, let's try this, Bean. I think we've figured out. I think we've slowed it down a little.
Actually, fun enough. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Nice.
No better, though, right?
Well,
go
I mean.
Slower, Bugs. Go slower.
Oh, can you make it go slower? That's awesome. That's great.
Thursday.
This is like that movie Snatch. Remember with Brad Pitt's character?
Oh my God.
You understood a thing he said the entire movie?
All right, let's try it.
I think it's like I actually fell in love. I was telling the Queen about it on Thursday.
That could be.
That's what it sounds like.
Because what I was saying is it could have been her cousin because her cousin was interviewed a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
She's a royal... party planner or something.
But who, I mean, what would the context of that? I'm trying to understand, Lisa. Who fell in love on Thursday and why? I mean,
I don't know.
No, she didn't fall in love on Thursday. She told the Queen about it on Thursday.
Well, that's a horrible thing to start a news special with.
I agree.
Who cares?
I fell in love. I told the Queen about it on Thursday.
Nope.
That sounds like the heavy vacation lady, by the way. Like she's having that kind of stroke.
Maybe she was having... All right. Tony says that he/she can tell us exactly what was being said.
Excellent.
Tony?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May?
Hi.
You know what they're saying?
Yeah.
What?
It's easy. I fell in love with her when I was a little girl, and I can't wait to see her on Thursday.
But who's... Why Thursday? But who? Who did she fall in love with? Is she talking about the Queen?
Well, I'm pretty sure she's talking about the Queen, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Definitely, man.
But hang on, Tony. Let's play it again at regular speed and see if it sounds like that.
Actually, fell in love. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I don't know.
No, there's no way you got that from that, Tony. There's no way.
And by the way, why would she be looking forward to Thursday when Friday is the wedding?
Have no idea.
I'm saying,
confused.
I'm saying you have
time.
You have no idea, just completely.
Tony, no, we don't care about your shout-outs. But let me ask you this, Tony. Are you willing to concede Thursday? You definitely think she's saying Thursday.
Obviously, you guys know that for a fact.
I think.
I don't. Okay. I don't know anything for a fact at this point. All right, thank you for the call.
I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
She says...
Well, very, very heavy heavy vibration tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Terrorizing those for the bit. They had the pit.
Well, kudos to NBC for putting this woman on after she had a vibration. Is that what it's called?
Yes, a heavy vibration.
I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ralph Garman's favorite new TV show ever is called Extreme Couponing.
We'll
discuss coming up in about 50 minutes. First, though, so Thor is a movie or
yes,
what?
Thor is a movie based on the Mighty Thor, the comic book character that's been around for, I don't know, about 50 years, thanks to the people at Marvel Comics. Stan Lee created him back in the 60s, and now he's getting his own big screen, big budget motion picture.
So his power is that he has a hammer.
He has a hammer, but it's more than just a hammer. It is
a hammer.
It is a weapon of a god. He is the god of thunder.
Okay,
from Asgard.
Does he have lightning?
And his hammer is Mjolnir, which has enormous power to it. And only he can wield it. If someone else tries to pick it up and use it, they can't because
too heavy.
It's his
right.
It's his weapon to wield.
Makes sense.
Well, listen, the movie opens a week from tomorrow, but we are going to hook you up to see it on Monday at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. By the way, Anthony Hopkins, Natalie Portman, Jeremy Renner, yeah. Renee Russo, Chris Hemsworth, an unbelievable cast. How are we playing the game here today, Rob?
Who is the hero? You got to guess the right hero to attend the night. You cannot be wrong, and you've got to kick ass. So now let's see if you can guess right.
We're playing a game called Who is the Hero? I will say a catchphrase of a popular comic book superhero.
Ooh, you're going harder than yesterday.
Yesterday we did Secret Identities. Today we're doing catchphrases or lines that are closely associated with that superhero.
Okay.
I will I will say that, and all you need to do is name the superhero who either that is the catchphrase of or that line is closely associated to. It's pretty simple. If you know comic books, it shouldn't be hard. Right. Now, if you're right, we're going to put you into a drawing. We're going to draw out a name, and that person will get a pair of passes to go to the red carpet world premiere of Thor in Hollywood.
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Michael. He's on line one. Our first contestant for today is Who's the Hero? Michael, welcome to the show. You ready to play?
I am.
All right, Michael. Who is this hero? It's clobbering time!
That is The Thing.
The Thing, correct, sir, sweet. Correct.
Nicely done.
These are my people. They know this stuff.
Yes, they sure do.
I get to say this and have and someone know what I'm talking about, as opposed to Kevin and me looking at me with that dog-eared, high-pitched whistle face
how
they get.
How dare you? Let's go to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Yeah,
Rick.
How you doing?
Here we go, Rick. Here, who is the hero? No evil shall escape my sight.
That's the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, yes!
He has great eyesight, the Green Lantern?
No, that's part of his oath that when he recharges his battery, his ring with the power battery, that's the oath that he says, part of the oath he says in order to recharge
his
battery.
Unless it's covered in yellow.
Stop it.
All right.
Plus, he's got a lantern, so that kind of lights up the room a little bit, right? So you can see the evil.
Let's go to Scarlett. Hi, Scarlett.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
See, wait a minute, Scarlett is a girl.
What?
Let's hold on.
Comic book.
Let's hold on.
You're calling for your geek boyfriend, aren't you, Scarlett?
I am not. It's for me.
Good girl. Here is your clue. Who is the hero? With great power comes great responsibility.
Spider-Man.
Woo! Well done,
that was
Scarlett.
A gimme. You gave her the gimme.
I didn't. These are all random. They're all listed right here.
Scarlett, hold on. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
By the way, Scarlett is going to be the only woman in the theater at Thor.
No, she is not.
I hope she brings a rape whistle with her to the theater.
Stop it. Oh, but the rest of them are going to be geeks, B. Don't worry about it. She could kick all her asses. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up?
All right,
first
Steve.
I want to say that theme song is hideous.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Who is the hero?
It's like off-key and everything. It's not even close.
How dare you?
All right, here is your clue, Steve. Great Hera.
Great Hera.
Who says that? What
is that Thor?
Answer? No, sir. I'm sorry.
Is that Thor?
Hercules.
No, not Hercules. Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman says Great Hera.
Guesses.
That's
hey,
her.
Get on the air. Make fun of the song. You better have the title ready.
what a terrible stuff. Catchphrase. What does it mean, Ralph? Great Hera.
Hera was is a female goddess of strength in Greek mythology.
Oh,
and
I see.
Wonder Woman
okay.
is often, it's like saying, you know, Great Scott or something like that. So
gotcha.
Her exclamation.
All right, we got time for a couple more. How about Anthony, line six. Anthony, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Ready to play Who's the Hero?
Hold on, dude.
What?
You're taking them out of order. All right. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Anthony, here is your clue. Who is the hero? Criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot.
Criminals are superstitious, cowardly lot.
Right, that's what he tells you, and then you say the name of a superhero.
Who famously said that? Which superhero?
I'm going to go with Batman.
Yes, sir. That's how he
what a stab in the dark.
That's how he decides to dress himself as a bat, because criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, Austin, here we go. Great Neptune.
Aquaman.
Yes, well done, Aquaman.
Highest percentage of correct answers in any game we play is when we do comic book geek stuff.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So, Michael, Rick, Scarlett, Anthony, Austin, all in the drawing. Who is going to the premiere of Thor Monday night? Lisa May?
Rick is the winner.
Rick
yeah.
is the winner.
Green Lantern.
Rick.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You get to see the movie before anybody else, the world premiere.
Awesome.
And thanks for playing the game.
Who is the hero?
I'm Rich Eisen. I'm going to explain the NFL draft situation to you.
It's not my fault.
No,
I did everything right because I'm red. His phone is just ringing and ringing.
I just know when producer Alex was here, we had Rich Eisen on the phone. It wasn't that hard. That's
easily.
All I know.
Every time.
Hey, funny man Adam Scott from TV's Parks and Recreation. No, Adam Scott, not Carolla, joins us next there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph and your good friend John Lovitz coming up later on today's show, too.
Yes,
but first.
He is.
But first, it's something called Extreme Couponing. Tell me about this.
Extreme Couponing!
There are very few TV shows where you can look at the title and go, that's going to be spectacularly bad or good.
This is both and all. And I love it so much, and I can't stop watching Extreme Couponing. It's like couponing, but it's extreme.
But how you're still at
the
end of the day.
They do it on BMX bikes.
And at the end of the day, you're still couponing, right?
Oh, but they coupon the F out of this stuff.
Right.
You have never couponed like these women coupon.
But how much can you coupon? I mean, is it all you can do? Is it all you can do? Just cut out the coupons that come in your Sunday paper and take it to the store and get the 10 cents off an item? I mean,
stupid man. You don't know anything about extreme couponing.
You know nothing.
You can get e-coupons that you can load up on your frequent shopper card. You know those cards they give you at the supermarkets? You can go to the computer, you can load up e-coupons on that. So when they scan your card, you get additional bonuses.
Oh.
You can find online coupons that you can print out. One woman found out you could only print two out per computer, so she bought extra computers so she could print more coupons.
Well, that was worth the money.
She's got five computers in her house, so she can print 10 of every coupon. And then if you take it to a store and they give you double or triple your money on your coupons, if they double or triple the value of the coupons, you can actually get items not only for free, but get more credit than the cost of the item, so they'll apply that to store credit for your other items. You can literally whittle down your giant order of food and soap and whatever you're buying to almost nothing.
Is this another one of the TLC freak shows?
It is TLC freak show, yeah.
All right.
Let me talk to you about the two women featured in last night's episode, Desiree and Stephanie. Desiree loves coupons so much. Listen to the joy in her voice when she finds this coupon.
Wait, there it is. Awesome. Now I can go and get my gelatin for free.
Woo! Free gelatin!
Gelatin!
Free gelatin! She couldn't be more excited.
How much does gelatin cost?
Like 18 cents.
I mean, really?
It's one of the cheapest things you can buy
it's
anywhere.
It's not a gold bullion.
She is so hardcore with her couponing that it's not enough for her to look through her newspaper or her neighbor's newspapers. She goes into dumpsters, trash dumpsters, searching through garbage to find newspapers, to find coupons to clip out and bring with her.
She could probably find gelatin in it.
All right, so I'm going to step inside the dumpster and see what I can find. OMG.
Falls right inside the dumpster.
Hey, what are the chances?
Takes a header right inside the dumpster.
I wonder if it was gross.
Now, Desiree's got a family. She's got, first of all, almost every episode I've seen, 90% of the women, Southern, 100% of the women, fat. Oh, they're all fat.
Really?
Well, they get a lot of free food, Ralph.
Sure. That's why these people are not starving.
They have to eat whatever they get, right?
I guess anything that's going to spoil, they have to down it that week. All huge, huge women. She's got a family, and I think she's ignoring them.
She has a husband and kids?
Yes. I know she has no social life, because this is how she spends her week.
There is a negative side. Of course, you're going to have to put a lot of time and effort into it. I dedicate about 60 hours to couponing each week.
60 hours a week? If she got a second job for 40 hours a week, she could afford to eat whatever she wanted to. But she spends a 60-hour work week just dealing with her coupons.
If you were her kids or her husband, wouldn't you throw away newspapers and just try to keep them out of her way?
It's extreme!
60 hours.
Then we follow her to the store, and she is going to have a lot of cream cheese in her house.
All right, so I am getting 28 tubs of cream cheese.
The small packages of cream cheese are $1.09, but Desiree has a 55-cent off coupon that will double up to the price of the item, making them free.
Free!
Okay,
free cream
but I'm
free
I'm
cream cheese.
Does she like cream cheese?
Cream cheese. Free cream cheese.
Does she like cream cheese?
She will eat anything that's put in front of her.
But, Ralph, they have to say at some point, somebody on the special needs to say, lady, you're not going to live long enough to use 28 tubs of cream cheese. What are you going to do with it all?
They show you the homes of these people, and it looks like an episode of Hoarders.
It's like
really well-organized Hoarders. They've got stock shelves in their bedrooms, in their garages, everywhere in their homes, just filled to the brim with food and cleaning products and soap and toothpaste.
But you can't be picky at all then. You have to take where you find the coupons.
They buy whatever on sale.
Whatever it is.
One woman says, my son hates this cereal, but he's got to eat it because this is the one that's on sale this week.
That's nice.
Here is Desiree's final checkout number. This is the woman tallying up her bill, which is over $1,600, I think, worth of food she bought.
So that means today you would have spent a grand total of $1,077.66. But with all of your coupons, your grand total was $21.26.
That's awesome.
She saved a whole lot of money.
She saved a whole lot of money.
Look, I think these people are crazy and need to be put down, but that's unbelievable that she saved 99.9% of that food bill.
Bean's going to do it.
$1,077.66 worth of food and other products down to $21.26.
Do the people that are behind her in the aisle at the store, do they want to kill them because
gather around like they're watching someone in Vegas play a hot slot machine. Shoppers from home. That's what that woman did. She saved a whole lot of money. She came over from her. She left her order behind to go watch this woman, to watch the total drop on the giant tote board. And it was like watching someone who can't stop winning at blackjack. These women are shopping and they just cannot help but stop and stare in amazement.
Shopping superstars, these women.
But let me ask you this, Ralph. The supermarkets know that this is happening. They know that it's going on. Why don't they rewrite their ads that say one coupon per person per visit or something like that so that this you're not allowed to combine and triple your money and everything?
Because the number of people doing this are so few and far between that it's worth the value they get from people who are coming in just on a regular basis to use those coupons. They entice shoppers to their store with the double and triple value on the coupons.
So it would have to be difficult to find these people, wouldn't it? Although it sounds like
this is the fifth episode I've watched, and they have two per episode, so this is 10 women so far that I've seen do this. Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Stephanie was the second half of the episode. Now, Desiree dumpster dives and gets her coupons. This is how Stephanie gets hers.
This is a dirty secret. I kind of stock the houses in my neighborhood to see which ones are being foreclosed on. And as soon as I know no one's living there, I will steal the papers.
Yeah, wow. If she finds an empty house anywhere in her neighborhood, she'll steal their newspapers and their coupon circulars. And like there's a getaway car. Her husband drives a getaway car. And she hops out and grabs it off the driveway, then runs back and hops back in the car. She peels off.
To the next door.
To the next door, yeah. And she's got kids, too, and their friends always come to their house.
Oh, no.
Because they can eat whatever they want. You open up, they've got a giant wall-to-ceiling freezer, floor-to-ceiling freezer filled with frozen pizzas and stuff. And so the kids just show up and they go in the garage, and it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. They're just eating everything they can get their hands on.
That sounds good.
One of these kids, he loves this house.
This house is mad cool to be in. It's really chill. I don't know anybody who has this much food in their house. If there's some type of nuclear accident, I'm coming here.
That's a good idea. That's where you want to go.
That is a good idea.
It's like walking into Costco when you go to these people's homes. Stephanie takes her couponing very seriously.
Sure.
She's an extreme couponer.
Oh, they all are.
She's very passionate about it. One thing you don't want to do is touch your coupon binder.
Oh, she has a binder?
Yeah.
No one's allowed to touch my binder because if someone drops it and the coupons fall out, I will kill them. Yeah.
She will kill them.
Wow. Mm. Well,
she's extreme is what
she
I'm
She is extreme.
She will
kill over her coupon.
Let's see how she did with her order. She bought... I don't know exactly how much. I think it's over $500 worth of product at the supermarket. She was trying to get down to a zero total. That was her goal, to pay nothing for over $500 worth of food. Let's see how she did.
Even though she didn't reach her goal of a $0 checkout, Stephanie managed a haul that included 16 frozen pizzas, 26 packages of candy, 34 bags of rice, and over 300 cans of soda. A retail value of $516.16. That came down to just $29.06, a savings of 95%.
Boo! You suck! You suck at extreme couponing! Desiree got over $1,000 worth of product at that same price. You suck! That's what you find yourself doing when you're watching extreme couponing.
You're not as good as the last
woman. You're
waiting
for the final total to see whether they pulled off their scam or not. And then you react very viscerally when they do or don't win.
So this is TLC
Wednesday
Extreme.
Nights on TLC. Usually they have back-to-back episodes, a rerun, and then a brand new episode on TLC every Wednesday night.
Sweet. That's a good.
Actor Adam Scott, who you know from, well, Step Brothers, Piranha 3D, on television. Of course, he's been in Children's Hospital, Party Down, Parks and Recreation. He's here in the building and joins us next, coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
We were just talking about Piranha 3D in the other room.
Yes.
Yeah, talking about the new cast. Gary Busey starring in Piranha 3 Double D.
Come on.
That's a hard title to get out. That's going to be hard to just trip off the lips. And Piranha 3 Double D.
I think we'll get
Piranha
used to it.
Piranha 3 Double D. Yeah. The sequel. Very excited that Gary's working again where he should be, up on the big screen. Or in a padded room. I can't quite decide. Yeah. Speaking of movies, remember the book and the movie The Firm with Tom Cruise?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was where he was a lawyer.
He was, yeah.
Good movie.
John Grisham book.
Mm-hmm.
Wildly successful. They're going to turn that into a TV series.
Okay.
The original film was made back in 1993 with Cruise and Gene Hackman. Gary Busey was also in that film. And NBC apparently is going to take the book and make a series out of it about a graduating Harvard law student who's interviewed by a law firm only to find out that the FBI knows the firm is mob connected and they want him to spy on that firm for them. That was the premise.
FBI!
Premise of the film. So,
yeah.
I think that would make a good series.
Sure.
And apparently the people in the law firm turn their backs to the student and they listen to him and they see if he's a really good lawyer. And then they turn around and see what he looks like. And
I don't think that's part of
it. The firm. We're going to find the firm. That may be the voice.
Yeah.
I may be confused. Lone Ranger. We've been hearing for some time about this film. Johnny Depp has signed on to play Tonto. Gore Verbinski, director from Pirates of the Caribbean, has signed on to direct. But we just can't seem to find a Lone Ranger. Last week, Ryan Gosling's name was being thrown around. His people have come forward and said, no, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Good.
Now they're saying Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer to play the Lone Ranger. If you saw Social Network, remember the twins?
Yes.
That was Armie Hammer. He played the twins in that film. He's a big, strapping, 6'5", blonde, good-looking fella. And I think he's got a certain Lone Ranger quality about him.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But I'm with you that if you don't give it to John Hamm, why bother making the movie? That's where I'm at.
Obviously, if they're going with a younger actor, they're going to do an origin story about how he became the Lone Ranger and stuff like that. So, John is too old, believe it or not.
Yeah.
For a role of that that caliber. And Paris Hilton yesterday. A little scary moment for her. I don't know if you saw this or not, but she was headed into court to testify against Nathan Parada, who allegedly was carrying a knife trying to gain access into her home in August of last year.
Right.
She's into court to testify against a scary, dangerous stalker.
Right.
Going into court when another one of her stalkers popped up and attacked her boyfriend outside the courtroom.
What the hell?
That's a bad day.
No kidding.
James Rainford is his name. He came up from behind and took a shot at her boyfriend, Cy Waits, before security guards could quickly subdue him and hand him over to LAPD. However, in Mr. Rainford's defense, he did say that Paris's father, Rick Hilton, gave him permission to marry his daughter, and that's why he was there.
Well, then?
So maybe, you know, Rick Hilton shouldn't have given that guy permission, is what I'm saying. I think he caused a lot of trouble by saying, yes, you can go marry my daughter. And then next thing you know, the guy sees his fiance with some other guy going to a courtroom. No wonder he's upset.
Sure. I suspect that Dad didn't really say that. But why do you think Paris has so many crazy stalkers, Ralph? What is it about her that makes those people come out of the woodwork?
She's just super talented.
She is.
Oh, is that what it is? And beautiful.
I have a clip from her if you want to.
And she's an extreme couponer.
Is she?
I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
this is about the court case.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I don't think that was her at all.
I'm not sure what she said
at all. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jay Leno, 61 years old. Actress Mary McDonald's 58. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is also 58 today. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 40th birthday. Jorge Garcia of Lost Fame is 38. Penelope Cruz, 37. Jessica Alba is 30. All right, okay,
wow,
enough.
Hey there.
I feel like I'm at a hotel with really bad service. Harry Shum Jr., who plays Mike Chang on Glee, is 29 years old today. And Jenna Ushkowitz, who plays Tina Cohen-Chang on Glee, she is 25.
How come the two Asian actors on Glee are named Harry Shum and Jenna Ushkowitz?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Because they're Americans. That's why.
Sounds like the High Holidays over at the Mug's house with that crowd. I feel like they should be atoning for their sins eating matzo brie or something. Anyway, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me that wacky theme song from Parks and Recreation, would you please, Kevin? Show is back tonight on NBC at 9:30 p.m. Adam Scott, of course, one of the stars of Parks and Recreation, in studio with us right now. Now, is that a different time for you, Adam, because of the crazy extended Office Steve Carell finale tonight?
Yeah, the Office is almost an hour tonight, so we're on at 9:52.
How do they come up with almost an hour?
It's 52 minutes, right? Isn't that what they're doing?
I guess so. I don't know. You know how I found out that was what time we're starting tonight? I just Twitter. Saw it in USA Today in your lobby.
Really? Is that right? Oh, really?
I was like, wow, 9:52.
9:52 is a strange start time, but most of your TiVos will catch that.
Yes. Right. Yes, the TiVos will catch
you have that, yeah.
I have not allowed myself to get worked up about Steve Carell leaving The Office, but he's one of the greatest comedic television actors, I think, in my lifetime. I'm so impressed with how talented he is on that show.
I agree with you.
But if ever there was a show that could go on losing a major player like that, it's The Office, because they are so deep. That bench is so deep with so many funny people on it, but it's still going to be very bittersweet tonight to see that episode.
I agree. I mean,
will you cry?
I did last week.
You cried?
I did. I got teary-eyed.
I got choked up the other day seeing a promo for it, and he and Jim saying goodbye to each other kind of got me going.
Never tell anyone that.
I just told you and probably a couple million people. Yeah.
So you're going to have, I guess the upside for you is it's probably going to be the highest rated Parks and Recreation ever tonight, then coming on after that Office show.
I hope so. That's
no pressure.
Certainly what we're hoping for.
Your show has been so funny this year, though.
Oh, thanks.
And I don't know what it's like. I mean, I don't know anything about show business. But, I mean, a show like yours, you know, in any show that has a lot of moving parts, must be tough to get the rhythm of when it first goes on the air. And it does get better in many cases as you learn what works and what doesn't work. And it just seems like you guys are just firing on all cylinders right now.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, you can attribute that to Mike Schur and Greg Daniels and Amy Poehler, who kind of run the whole operation. And they're just... It's kind of gratifying when you meet the funniest people you've ever met, and they also end up being the coolest and nicest people. It really is just such a pleasant place
to
work.
That's a lie, though, isn't it? That's a lie.
I am lying.
Okay. Showbiz BS. When they brought you in as Ben, you were an assistant to Rob Lowe's guy who was coming in to kind of, you know, work over the books and find out, you know, how the money was being spent in Pawnee. I got the impression, and maybe tell me if I'm dead wrong, that was supposed, it looked like it was meant to be a temporary plot line for a few episodes that has just expanded and grown into a full-time thing, and now it looks like you're living in Pawnee.
Yeah, I guess just like two episodes ago, my character kind of said that, yeah, he's going to stay. So, yeah, now it's definitely a permanent.
Did you know
thing.
That ahead of time, or did they just...
Yeah, we knew it ahead of time, but you know, wanted to make it interesting for the viewer and plausible for the character to kind of come in.
Right. And there's a obviously the romantic sparks are flying between you and Amy's character. Is that odd for you guys to play, since obviously that's not the real deal?
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, you know, you forget when you're watching a show that, you know, for those 47 seconds that the scene is going, there's also the rest of the day where you're just hanging around talking about what you watch on television the night before. So it's really not uncomfortable, and Amy's so cool that, no, it's totally fine. I should come up with a more boring answer to that question.
I don't think it's possible. You should say she attacks you all day long.
She does. Go with that. That is
you
what
can't
happens.
Keep her hands off of you.
Yeah.
You have to fend her off constantly.
She is. I mean, it also was so funny. One of the reasons I love your character on the show is because he's the boring guy. Remember? I mean, especially when you first came in, you're the opposite of everybody else on that show, especially guys like Aziz Ansari, who just are so off-the-wall crazy.
Right.
And your guy was just so by the book, just government pencil, you know, pencil pusher guy. And now we're starting to see Ben come out of his shell a little bit and enjoy himself.
Yeah, I think they came up with this great premise that I was this boy mayor when I was 18. I was the youngest mayor in the country. And then I bankrupted the town because I came up with an idea for an indoor ice winter sports park that bankrupted the town I was the mayor of. And I just, you know, from the get-go, I just thought that was such a great premise and was so excited to do it. And so we've kind of seen the character come out of his shell a little bit, and is, you know, you see that he's just kind of a nervous person who's terrible speaking in public.
Everybody knows those people, and everybody knows the people who are desperate to make it appear like they're following the, you know, the rules,
right?
But they really don't care either,
right? Like, you kind of think that maybe they're all just kind of sexual deviants when they get home,
right? You want to know what's going on in private,
yeah,
sure.
Tell me about Rob Lowe's character, your boss on the show, because first of all, what a surprise to see him on that show.
I know.
And second of all, you forget what a great comic actor he is.
I know. He's terrific. The character Chris Traeger that they came up for with Rob is just this great character. He's, I mean, how would you describe him? Just a hyper fit, super positive nightmare.
Annoying.
Yes, perfect. And he never wastes a second, and he loves everything about life.
Yeah,
and they had an interesting backstory about how he, you know, he had some health problems early in his life, so he just appreciates everything in the world. But he believes the best in everybody. And in real life, if I knew somebody like that person, I would hate that person and want to kill that person.
Absolutely. And I feel like my character kind of hates him a little bit. You see kind of how I react to things that he say, but you know, they've been on the road together for a long time, so I think they're
falling
really
in love,
tight buddies. Yeah,
they're tight buddies. I
think that's going to be the spinoff, is us just having gay sex.
All right.
I mean, if all goes as planned.
what's the ratings up and down situation been like with Parks and Recreation? Has it always done well, or has it fluctuated, or is it building? Where are we?
I mean, I think it's always done pretty well. It's certainly doing very well this season because we're right behind The Office. And I think the audience is building, and every week it's just been kind of ticking up. And so everyone's really, really happy about it.
Tonight when it comes on at 9:52.
Yeah, at 9:52, as you know, is the prime spot. So everyone's looking at 9:52 these days.
Parks and Recreation airs tonight on NBC. It looks like a great episode tonight. We're going to take a break. Adam Scott is here in the studio. There's so much other stuff we want to talk to you about. We want to talk about Party Down a little bit. We want to talk about some of the upcoming movies with your friend Paul Rudd. Listen to this. There's some of the people that are in movies with Adam Scott. This is how they build it, too, by the way. Hey, I'm in a movie with Adam Scott. Elizabeth Banks, Zooey Deschanel, Emily Mortimer, John Hamm, Kristen Wiig, Megan Fox. Those are some of the people who are working with Adam Scott in the movies that are coming out this year. How about that?
They just all come, like, just tear down your door saying, I've got to be in a project with
they
you.
They do. In matter of fact, I woke up this morning, Megan Fox is knocking on my
really?
Door
again?
Wanting to work together again.
Wow, she's
what am I supposed to do with these people?
Oh, you took the banjos away. I was enjoying the banjos.
You have a no banjo policy.
We found Rich Eisen, by the way, from the NFL Networks. We'll be talking to him coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the NFL draft / lockout. So stick around for that. Adam Scott in studio right now. He, of course, is Ben Wyatt on Parks and Recreation with a new episode airing tonight on NBC. And Adam, you have how many movies ready to go in the pipeline, ready to be unleashed upon the public?
Not that many. I mean, I think two.
Oh, is that all?
Two?
It's not bad.
I think it's two.
Well, Bean was selling it like it was more.
I know.
Is there something you know that he doesn't know, Bean?
Am I in movies I'm unaware of?
All right. We were talking earlier about the Piranha 3D sequel.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to be in that one, though, right?
Oh, no. I will not be in that.
But how
awesome
was it?
We're not going to list the movies he's not in.
But how awesome was it being in the first one, though?
It was awesome. I mean, It was fun to do it, but then, you know, I was kind of afraid of what the movie would be like because, you know, it's Piranha 3D and
right.
We made it in Lake Havasu and it was a trashy experience.
It was great. Just so you know where we're coming
great.
From.
I think
it was
it's
our kind of
great
movie.
I loved the movie. I when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is the ultimate summer movie. I would see this four times if I was a 13-year-old.
Just for the naked underwater ballet alone?
Sure. Absolutely.
Just for that. Just for Kelly Brook.
It's a hilarious movie. But Piranha 3 Double D. I'm
you're
not
out
sure.
At that point. You have to draw the line.
Yeah, that's where I draw a line.
Well, I maybe they don't need like you if they got Busey. You ever think about that?
What's that?
They got Busey. Maybe they don't need you anymore. You ever Busey. Think about that?
Yeah. Hey, when you get Busey, you don't need anyone.
That's really all you need.
I think we all know.
All right. Let's talk about it on remaining moments. Let's talk about the movies that you do have coming out, because they, the two that I have in front of me both look awesome. My Idiot Brother with your actual real-life friend Paul Rudd.
Right.
Also stars Elizabeth Banks, Zooey Deschanel, Emily Mortimer. Tell me about that. I don't know anything about that movie.
We shot it last summer in New York. It's this great, hilarious movie. Jesse Peretz directed it. Also, Steve Coogan's in it. T.J. Miller, Catherine Hahn, who played my wife and stepbrothers, she's in it as well.
Oh, funny.
A bunch of hilarious people. It's just a really fun, fun, like kind of Little Miss Sunshine type.
Are you the idiot or is Paul the idiot?
Paul is the idiot. I'm really smart.
Sure.
So yeah, that's gonna great. It comes out in August. It's gonna be a really fun movie for people to see. I think people will dig it. It's hilarious.
Friends with Kids.
Yes.
Megan Fox, John Hamm, Kristen Wiig, Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
which
great.
One of these names doesn't fit?
Yeah, exactly.
Which one of these is not like the other?
Which non-global superstar is in this movie? Yeah, we just shot that a couple months ago, and Jennifer Westfeld, who's also a friend of mine, John Hamm's girlfriend, directed it and wrote it, and Maya Rudolph is in it, Chris O'Dowd's in it.
Wow.
Ed Burns, a bunch of great people. It's a fun
romantic
comedy.
Is this about an
open
marriage, kind of, an open marriage relationship? Or what?
Who's that?
The movie? Is that what the movie's about?
Oh, no. It's about two best friends, myself and Jen Westfeld, and we decide to have a kid together without starting a relationship, and all of our friends around us are married with children, and we try to navigate those waters.
And you don't want to tell anyone that you're just doing it as friends.
We tell them that we're going to do it just as friends, but... Are we just friends?
Oh,
I don't know.
I see. Do we learn something at the end of that
we
one?
We learn a lot.
Okay. A valuable lesson. All right. Who's hotter, Megan Fox or John Hamm?
Please.
John Hamm. This is weird. John Hamm has terrific breasts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something I wouldn't have known just from watching the television.
Oh, well, you don't. It's only in real life.
He has to tape them down?
This. Yep. Don Draper.
Do you have scenes with Megan Fox, Adam?
Yeah, she plays my girlfriend in the movie, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Easy bean.
Then, and you must have written this movie then, because there's no other scenario where that exists.
And then they make out again for a half hour. What?
Talk about who here doesn't belong.
Megan Fox plays your girlfriend in a movie?
I know. Believe me, I know.
Okay, look,
right,
I know
this is new on us.
Right.
You got to give us a second.
Yeah, we got to have this absorb a little bit here. All right, look, I know that you're an actor and you're a professional and you're used to doing this job and it's just, you know, it's just a job and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But at some point you have to open up your eyes and go, that's freaking Megan Fox right there. What's going on?
And don't give us the answer that you're an actor and it's just like you did with... Your co-star,
right.
Amy Poehler, already. Come on now.
No, it was cool, and she's obviously beautiful, but she's also super funny, and I think that this movie takes advantage of that, and I don't think it's really been taken advantage of yet, just how kind of hilarious she is. And
right,
I really
but she's
enjoyed
hot,
it.
I think, is our angle.
Yes, she's incredibly hot. That
that's
is
the
very,
angle
very
we're going
true.
With.
And, I mean, she just was cast in Apatow's new movie, so I think people are kind of cluing into the fact that
she's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah,
wow.
Totally.
And I think she's been unfairly written about oftentimes in the press. You know, people have mocked her because of the Transformers movies and stuff. But, I mean, you're saying it sounds like there is more to her than those sorts of things, and we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely. I really, really enjoyed hanging out with her. But as I've said before... Just being around her, I just she's so hot. I just feel like I'm covered in diarrhea.
That's a strange thing to say, but I guess I can understand.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
When does Friends with Kids come out? Please say today.
It comes out today.
Might it be today, Thursday?
Yes. It'll be at film festivals and stuff. It's an independent.
So it's a ways yeah. away from yes. mere mortals like me to get a chance to
yes.
see it. Okay. Well, you have a lot going on, young man.
Well, thank you.
You approve me?
I do.
Okay.
I like the cut of your jib, Adam.
Oh, well, thank you. You can't even... Yeah.
I don't know what that
do
means.
Do we have to beat that?
I don't know. I reached for the button. I don't know what it means.
Parks and Recreation airs tonight at some time. Just watch The Office, and then whenever that ends, whenever it gets around to ending, that's when you'll see Parks and Recreation with an all-new episode tonight on NBC. It's great to meet you. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
You guys may have to take this one without me. I'm watching the NFL Network. They're discussing what Cincinnati might do with their number 4 overall draft pick. So I can't be part of this
Newton.
Conversation.
Cam Newton.
Rich Eisen on the phone from the NFL Network. The draft is today, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Eisen will be on the air for all 254 picks of the draft. He is well rested and ready to go for the next few days. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. It's a big day, but it's weird to have the NFL draft going on at the same time that this cloud is over the whole NFL.
This is going to be the weirdest draft day in the history of the draft because the sport is in such legal limbo right now, although the players would say there is no legal limbo, that the federal judge that has the antitrust case in front of her has enjoined the lockout and refused a stay of her ruling, meaning the league year should start right now.
Right.
Uh-huh. Clearly there's an appeals court that can also issue the stay, and the league has asked for an expedited request. So, where are we right now?
Well, we were hoping to
I don't know. All I know is that for 254 picks over the next 3 days, I will be in Radio City Music Hall, and it appears that there will be no rule changes from the last few weeks, which is that players cannot be traded in this draft, and unused draft picks are the only draft picks that can be traded during the draft. So those are going to basically be the rules that we're playing under for the next 3 days.
Huh. All right. Let me ask you this, Rich, because, again, I've followed the headlines of this story, but I haven't gotten too deep into it. At any point did the NFL argue that the judge involved in the decision, Susan Nelson, could not appropriately rule because she is a woman? Did they bring that up? Or?
You know what? I don't think they went gender-based.
On
their legal briefs. I would think they would consider that a loser of an argument on its face.
But when
I have the commissioner on our set live today.
Don't bring it up. Don't ask. Just
don't. I might just bring that up. Just run that up the flagpole and see how that one flies.
But when you talk about the confusion, though, when she made her ruling, I understand that there were some players who went to work the next day. They got up, got dressed, went down, thinking that, hey, it's time to go back to work. And
to be honest with you, they're not thinking that. What they're thinking is that I've got a bonus that gets paid if I attend the off-season workout program.
Oh, I see.
And as soon as I show up, like the Brickashaw Ferguson of the Jets went to the Jets facility, basically showed up and said, all right, now that $750,000 bonus in my contract is kicked in. And let me tell you, if I had such a bonus in my contract, I would show up
to show up
after
one
that
day.
Ruling too.
Yeah, so, I'm there.
We are really in a complete legal limbo. Although what the league does between now and whether or not they get the stay from the appeals court could be, not to sound too cliche, used against them in a court of law, because again, the judge has lifted the lockout and she has said it's time to go back to work, but she's not forcing the league year to begin. She's like, the defendants are under no, the league is under no, they don't have to sign free agents.
So basically,
but what that is also could be considered is called collusion. It's totally insane.
Yeah,
it is. And I have no idea how it's going to play out. And all I do know is that over the next 3 days, it appears that players cannot be traded for draft picks, and unused draft picks are the only draft picks that can be traded within the draft.
And that's normal. That's normal or not normal?
No, it's not normal. Okay. But for instance, Randy Moss was acquired on draft day a couple years ago by the Patriots. Mark Sanchez, when the Jets moved up to get him in the draft, they threw some players to Cleveland's way. So those are trades that cannot happen during this year's draft. However, last year, Tim Tebow was acquired by the Denver Broncos for just mere draft picks. And those are the trades that can happen. And I fully expect those trades to happen because the two top quarterbacks, if I actually can talk football.
Sure. Yes, please.
The top two quarterbacks in this year's draft are expected to be top five picks in Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert. So they're going to be off the board quickly. And there are a lot of other quarterbacks who – many teams who are in need of quarterbacks at the top of the draft covet, but aren't a value pick at that spot. For instance, a young man like Andy Dalton at TCU, who a lot of fans listening to this program may know because he tore up the Rose Bowl this year.
Right.
He is the apple of many teams' eye, but not in the top 10 picks of the draft. So, at the bottom end of the first round, from pick 16 on, there's really only one team that's in need of a quarterback. Every other team, like San Diego and the Jets and Pittsburgh and Green Bay and the two Patriot picks, you know, they don't need quarterbacks. So they'll be like, hey, you want Andy Dalton, you want a quarterback, Christian Ponder of Florida State or Ryan Mallett of Arkansas, why don't you trade up into the bottom end of the first round? And I'm thinking from around 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, that's going to be the story of the draft tonight, is who's going to pop up at the end of the first round to get themselves the quarterback they want.
Is it still just a crapshoot? I mean, you see these guys go 1, 2, 3, and then they just bomb out in the NFL. Is it still? Do you not want to be drafted number one? Is that,
well, I mean, the difficulty of drafting number one is clearly the reason why you're drafting number one is because you had a horrible year the year before, and your franchise is in dire straits if you're choosing number one overall. And under the current construct, which, again, I'm assuming that when there is a new deal between both sides, because labor and management will have to get married again someday. And okay. I think they need to get back together soon for the sake of the kids.
I agree.
Be that as it may, I think when there is a new deal, the salary structure for rookies at the top end of the draft is going to change, because that's another aspect of this, is that if there is a new deal, then maybe there's going to be a more sane salary structure where some kid who's never done it before isn't going to become the highest paid player in the history of whichever organization drafts him. Or if this league year is forced under a court order and the league puts together rules based on last year's game, then the Carolina Panthers are going to have to pay Cam Newton an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, gotcha.
So,
Rich,
that's another thing in this draft that's really up in the air.
Rich, do you find the current situations is changing the mentality of the teams, how they're going to approach the draft this year versus other years?
At the top of the draft, I don't think anybody is going to trade into the top 10 picks
because
they have no idea what the salary structure is going to be. I don't think anybody is going to do that. I may be wrong. There's lots of rumors that Blaine Gabbert is in play. Von Miller is in play. That the Denver Broncos are open for business at two. I see the Broncos making that pick tonight. It's too pricey to get up there, and you have no idea who you're going to have, how much you're going to have to pay the kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing. But then after that, I think it's just going to be business as usual, with the exception of the sexy draft day trade, it's day two, day three trade that we've seen the last few years. We're not going to have that, which is unfortunate, because there'd be, if this was a normal year, I think for sure you'd see Carson Palmer go, or Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb, some names of some veteran quarterbacks who are on the market, I think for sure would have been in play on a draft weekend.
The pre-draft show is already on the NFL Network. And you're going to be
you're not wrong, by the way.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I've got it on right now. The pre-draft show is already on, but the first pick happens just after 2 o'clock West Coast time. Is that right today?
The Carolina Panthers go on the clock at 5:04 Pacific.
Oh, 5 our time. Okay, great.
But 5 o'clock is, 5 o'clock Pacific is when the draft itself begins. But
so you've only
our
got
coverage
like...
from Radio City will begin at 2 o'clock Pacific time.
I was going to say, who are you working with at the Radio City?
It's me and Marshall Faulk, Michael Irvin, Steve Mariucci, and the great Mike Mayock on the main set. We've got Brian Billick and Michael Lombardi also here in New York City with us. Charles Davis, Charlie Casserly.
Got the whole team.
We're all hands are on deck. You know, this is the off season Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
it's a really
bizarre time.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting back to some normalcy. Everybody is, really.
Sure. Well, Rich, we know you got to go. Thank you so much for squeezing us in today on your busy day. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Love chatting with
Thank
you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. John Lovitz joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Thor
is going on?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Thor, the highly anticipated movie based on the
a wildly popular Marvel comic book character. It's happening on May the 2nd in Hollywood at the El Capitan Theater. The red carpet world premiere. You get to see all the stars. See Chris Hemsworth and Rene Russo and Natalie Portman and Anthony Hopkins. It's just a cornucopia of talent in this.
You'll start that list with Natalie Portman.
Oh, stop it.
Back to you.
She doesn't have to be first on every cast list of every movie
she's in.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, no time for trivia, no time for games, no time for love, Dr. Jones. What I've got is passes to give away. First two callers you get through at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers you get through, we get a pair of passes to go see Thor. Can't wait. Katy Perry is suing NW Magazine.
What is NW?
It is a British tabloid type magazine. After they published reports that she had an intimate relationship with producer Benny Blanco.
He produced her music?
Yes.
Okay.
Or he produced a baby in her.
I think just the music. Now, she, of course, is a married woman, and she says that her reputation has been gravely injured due to the article, and she has suffered distress, embarrassment, and humiliation.
Wow. Wait, did she do it?
Suing for six figures. No, she's saying she did not have an affair. She is happily married and had no sexual relationships with Benny Blanco. Benny Blanco, who leaked the story, had no comment. I'm kidding.
I would.
I kid. I kid because I kid. Police in England have arrested a singer on a charge of racism.
A singer?
Yes. He was performing in a bar on the Isle of Wight, which is a little resort island off of the coast
of
England.
Isle of Wight sounds racist.
Yeah. It's W-I-G-H-T.
All right.
Wight.
All right, take it back.
That's thinly veiled racism, then.
Apparently, a Chinese man walked into the bar.
Hey! Sounds like the beginning of a joke.
With a nun.
With his mother. And the band struck up Kung Fu Fighting.
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting.
This is like a one-hit wonder way back when.
One-hit wonder in the 70s.
70s?
Still a great song.
Nope.
Just a coincidence that a Chinese guy happened to walk into the bar. There were funky Chinamen in funky Chinatown.
Right.
They were chopping things up. They were chopping things down.
Who knows how many words to this song?
I know every word to this song.
Let me ask you guys this question. Let's assume it wasn't a coincidence that they were playing this song and that they saw the Chinese guy and they said, oh, this will be funny. Let's play Kung Fu Fighting because the Chinese guy just walked into the bar. And they did it because of his race, but is it racist and is it actionable and is it hurtful?
No. I can't even accept the premise. There's no way they're waiting to see who's walking through the door so that they can play, so that they can somehow pull out a racist tune.
They've got a song for every
Come
race.
Come on.
Number seven!
Hold it! Here comes the Mexican! Change up! La Bamba! There's no way!
Anyway, the Asian man reportedly cursed at the band, gave them the finger, and then took a photo of the band with his cell phone, which he reported to police, saying he was subjected to racial abuse.
Oh,
the singer
God.
Was later arrested by police while eating dinner at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, how about that?
Isn't that funny? So.
Did he curse at them in Chinese or in English? Do we know? Does it say?
It does not say. He was arrested, released, but the police say they intend to question him further at a later date.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Once they can stop laughing.
They're really going to make him squirm.
Yeah. So here's your racial news of the day.
Okay, so he's a racist.
No, he's not.
I think the point is he's not. They weren't. He's not.
Jane Lynch has reportedly signed up to play the Mother Superior in the upcoming Farrelly Brothers movie about the Three Stooges. Remember, they wanted Cher originally to play that role.
They traded way up.
And they've got Jane Lynch instead to play the Mother Superior. In the backstory of the film, the Three Stooges grow up in a Catholic orphanage together, and the nuns try to get them adopted, but no one wants them, so they end up just being together. Larry Moe and Curly.
She's so much better than Cher, right?
Yes.
Who's with you?
If you're looking for a comedy film, then that's the person that you want.
Yeah.
And while we're talking comedy, Jason Sudeikis, it's been announced, has been signed to host the upcoming 20th annual MTV Movie Awards here in Los Angeles at the Gibson Amphitheater, happening on June 5th. Jason Sudeikis will be the host.
That's not a bad choice.
Sorry, Jason. Sorry to hear that. I like you. I think you're talented and funny. I'm sorry that you're going to have to go through that.
It's a tough gig, right?
It is, because he's going to come out there and go,
and no one's going to be listening.
No one will listen to him, and it'll be just a cluster F.
Yeah.
Will you punch him in the face?
I don't even understand that.
Anyone have a hint?
Don't look at me. That was played? Spear mug. Did you play that?
Bean played it.
Oh, of course he did.
Will you put him in a chokehold?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Why are you playing those?
Why?
They don't make any sense.
Just beer mug asking questions about Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, we know what it is. We know what it is. Why would you play it? And then after the first one, why would you play a second one?
I thought it was funny. Because it doesn't make any sense that beer mug would be asking questions about beating up Jason Sudeikis.
Jay Leno is 61 today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Mary McDonnell is 58. Sonic Youth's Kim Gordon is 58 years old. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 40th birthday. Jorge Garcia of Lost is 38. Penelope Cruz is 37. Jessica Alba is 30. And from Glee, Harry Shum Jr. and Jenna Ushkowitz, who play Mike and Tina on that show, are 29 and 25, respectively. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, look who we found on the sidewalk out in front of the radio station today and invited him to come on in, ladies and gentlemen. Legendary comedian John Lovitz joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is that how it works?
Do we look thank you.
We look for people.
Well, I'm homeless, and there I was.
John, it's nice to finally meet you. I can't believe all the years that Ralph kept you off of our show, because Kevin and I are huge fans of yours.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I've been trying to get on for years.
We didn't know what Ralph had against you, but he said I'd quit.
That is not
something
the case
about
at all.
Ralph would quit if John.
It's either him or me, is what Ralph said.
I've been
vouching
for John forever, and I said finally we have to have him on because we're going to do the show together this weekend, and it would be great to have him on and talk about it.
Now, are you trying out to see how the chemistry is so you can cancel quick? Before this weekend?
No, we've done one before.
We did
a Hollywood Babylon together before, and the people loved it. People went crazy for it, so we're doing it again.
All right, well, let's back up one step for folks who may not be aware that Mr. Lovitz owns a comedy club or runs a comedy club. I don't actually know if you do own it or not.
Own it.
You own it. Okay,
take it easy.
I didn't mean that to be insulting. I really, literally didn't know. So it's up at Universal City
Walk.
What do
you think, it was like Kenny Rogers Roasters where he just slapped his name on the chicken joint?
Sure.
Exactly. John is there. He works. He runs it.
Oh, please. Not yet.
So do you, do all the things an owner would do? You hire and fire the bartenders
I have a Frank Kelly's my business partner. He used to manage the Improv in Irvine. So he runs it, but I do the promotions. I perform there. I put up the money. You know, we're partners, you know. And business partners, take it easy. And and it's great. And we, I think in January, Kevin Smith, the director, started doing this podcast, Hollywood Babylon, with your own Ralph Garman.
Right.
And it's been selling out the club. And then he started doing it with Jason Mewes. And then Adam Carolla's done his podcast there. So we decided to partner with Kevin and Ralph and everybody. And it's actually expanding the club. So it'll be John Lovitz Podcast Theater. But we'll still do tons of stand-up and podcasts. And it's very exciting. So it gives the club from like a local presence. It gives it like literally an international presence.
Sure.
Because the podcast... they're not me, but their following goes all over the world.
Ralph, tell me about that with the podcast that you do with Smith. You do literally hear from people from every country, right?
We've got fans in the UK, Australia. We get emails from Finland, from Japan, from Russia, all over the States. It's remarkable, really, what a wide range of audience you can reach with these podcasts.
And it would seem to me that it's got to be a boon to comedy club owners like you, John. This whole podcast phenomena just gives you a built-in promotion machine.
I wanted to make it so that it's just a boon just to me, not the other clubs. Thanks a lot. Hello. Because they're doing just fine. Hey. But, it's very exciting. And so, actually, this Saturday, I when I'm in town, I do my own stand-up comedy show, so I'll be doing that this Saturday at 8 at my club. And then after that, I'm doing Hollywood Babylon with Ralph. And eventually, I'm going to do my own podcast with Ralph. And maybe Kevin or Bean, not sure. Depends how this interview goes.
Okay, so we're auditioning now to be part of your podcast.
That's right.
You've been doing
and you're doing very good so far.
So far, right.
You're
we're still early on. You've been in showbiz in some form or another, or at least attempting to make it in showbiz since you were 15 years old, John. Is that right? You started young.
Yeah, I started doing plays in high school, and I did about 5 plays, and I was a drama major at UC Irvine. And then 7 years, I had like one job for 2 weeks in 7 years, basically.
Ouch.
So really nothing. One job when I was 25 on the cable show, The Paper Chase. And then nothing for another 3 years.
That's
and then
rough.
And then I started getting... Yeah, it was really hard.
How do you not quit? One job in, what did you say, 7 years?
What happened was I was about 26 and I wanted to quit.
And America wanted you to quit too, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I wasn't getting anywhere, and I heard a preacher on the radio say, you know, people say they want to be rich and famous, but you have to ask yourself one question. Are you willing to do what you have to do to get what you want? But you have to be a Southern guy. He goes, guy, ask yourself, are you willing to do what you have to do to get what you want? Right. You know, most people aren't. They just say it, but they aren't. So I thought about it, and I thought, am I willing to do what I have to do to get what I want? And it was like looking down a big black tunnel with no light at the end. I mean, there was zero prospects. So I just finally said, I can't do it anymore. I'm quitting. And then I woke up the next morning. I'm thinking, but I don't want to quit. Like, well, I better turn it around. You know? So I go, well, then I thought, well, you better get your ass in gear, you know? And then 3 years later, you know. So even after that,
it was still a rough road for
3 years.
Oh, yeah,
but wow. I started working really way harder. And I was in the Groundlings Theater, and I just committed more and more, you know. But then you meet everyone else, and that's what everyone else does, too. It's just very tough. You have to dedicate yourself to it. You have to give up everything. It's just very, very competitive.
But isn't that true? Don't a lot of people hear that and then go, I just need to have enough faith? But these people don't have any talent. It doesn't matter the amount of faith they have. They'll never get to a point where they've made it, ever.
Well,
they need to change jobs.
You have to put in the – well, you have to have talent, but then you
need both.
You need a little bit of talent, but you need more desire because you can learn how to do it. You know what I mean? It's like if you said, oh, you want to be a doctor, you go, well, do you have talent for being a doctor? You go, probably not, but you could learn how to do it.
Sure.
But you have to tenacity and putting in the time is the biggest thing.
There are lots of rich and famous people, Kevin, who don't have that much talent. They've either been lucky or just they have had the motivation and the drive to keep at it. And now they have it.
But then they get up behind the microphone and they say, if I can make it, anyone can, follow your dreams. And I just always think,
well the biggest
person,
I was in the Groundlings with Kathy Griffin, and I remember she started there, and she really, I didn't think she was very good, but she really wanted to be in it. And then even in her book, she says that she wasn't good at sketches or characters or everything. And people said, well, you're funny as you. But she, I remember I ran into her in 94, and I got Saturday Night Live in 85, and she still hadn't started working. It was 96 she finally broke through. And so she's an example of someone, she hung in there. She talks about it, it's in her book. But she never gave up. I mean, her tenacity was unbelievable. And so you just have to really, you just have to want it more than anything. And then you have to be willing to get better. I saw a lot of people in the Groundlings. I'd be in class with them, and they'd be really good, but they already thought they were the kings of comedy, and they wouldn't try anything the teacher said, and they wouldn't listen. So they'd be better than me, but by the end of the class, I'd be better than them.
Because you were willing to take advice and work.
Yeah, yeah, I just said, whatever the teacher said, I was just soaked it up like a sponge. I go, got it, I'll do it, got it, okay.
Did you work with
what
do Carolla
I do? What do I do?
In the Groundlings, too? Was that the same era, or no?
With Adam Carolla? No, he talked about it. He was after me.
Yeah. He was after, yeah. Were you a funny kid, John? Did you always,
I was funny. Yeah. I would just do silly. I was just silly. Like, I had a teacher, Mrs. Morton, I remember, in third grade. And there's some commercial for Morton Salt. So I'd raise my hand. She goes, yes, Johnny. I'm like, when it rains, it pours. Morton Salt. Okay, it had nothing to do with anything.
You were just a weird kid. You weren't funny. You were just weird.
No, everybody just look at you and go, should I laugh or what's happening right now?
Or is he returning? Should I feel sorry for him?
No, I was funny. But my grandfather was really funny, and he would, I mean, he was hilarious, and I wanted to be a lot like him. My dad was a doctor, but he's also very funny and just playing practical jokes, and I just like that, and all my friends are funny, and I just found something that lent itself to my personality. When I got to the Groundlings, you know, I would the first class I did, they go, all right, go on stage and do an improv. So I did something, I don't know what. And the teacher's guy, Randy Bennett, great teacher, goes, well, that was good, but he's from Texas. You could have done like this. You could have done like this. You could have been funny like this. And I couldn't believe it. It was music to my ears. I was so excited. I was in heaven. It was the first time someone said, you know, shut up. Didn't say, would you shut up? Will you stop goofing around? Why do you talk so much? It was like they're saying, you could, you know, goof off this way. You could, that's really what they were saying. You could goof off this way. I mean, it was just.
But you could goof off was the good news for
you.
Was
the permission.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was in heaven. I go, oh, they like this when I, you know, they're going, oh yeah, yeah, but here we're going to teach you how to do it. So, there's a lot of ways to do it. And you're, I mean, it literally was like clown school. And I was like, oh my God, this is.
Well, you finally felt like you were home. You finally felt like you were
totally home.
You wanted to be, yeah.
And the people, guys like Phil Hartman and Tim Stack, they were like the kings of the Groundlings. And They were so great at it, and they were super nice guys and just hilarious and so quick-witted. It was crazy, you know.
There is such a fraternity in comedy, too. You know, when you and we were talking a few days ago, John Lovitz, about this special that just aired on HBO with Chris Rock sitting around talking with Ricky Gervais and some of these other comedians. Jerry Seinfeld was on the special. I don't know if you saw it or not. But they talked about what a key moment it was in their lives when they met the first other person in their lives that was also funny, and they realized, oh, my God, I have a soulmate in some way, somebody that I can hang out with that cracks me up, too. And it's different from everybody else that they'd ever met in their life. That's when they knew that comedy was their thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was when I met somebody. Actually, I saw the movie Take the Money and Run with Woody Allen when I was 13. And that's when I said, oh, I want to be a comedian like Woody Allen. And then 42 years later, or no, 29 years later, when I was 42, I got to do a movie with him. So see, tenacity pays off.
There you go.
29 years later, the dream came true.
It may take a while.
Instant gratification.
No, but you have to, you know, it's just tough because you're competing against everybody who's already been working for 10, 20 years. So how do you think?
They've already worked out their whole act and everything else.
Right, and it just takes a long time. And
let me interrupt you right there, John. This is the voice of John Lovitz on the Kevin and Bean Show. The John Lovitz Comedy Club is located at Universal City Walk in Universal City, California. Not a real place, by the way. Made up town name. Co-hosting Hollywood Babylon this weekend. You're going to be filling in for the great Kevin Smith with our own Ralph Garman. And that show, Ralph, tickets are on sale now to come see that?
Yes. You can go to the website for the club, or you can go to Babylon Ralph, which is easier to remember because it's the John Lovitz Comedy Club.com. It's the longest name in the history.
And at 8 o'clock... I do my stand-up show.
Yes.
Early.
And John's very musical, too. He does songs and jokes and everything.
Yeah, I play the piano. I sing songs, tell jokes, make fun of myself, religion, sex, politics. Bob Saget. And Ralph Garman.
Don't embarrass me.
All right. Ralph Buy Garman tickets to that. But more for free with John Lovitz right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, why not head out to the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk to see Mr. Lovitz himself on stage doing his hilarious comedy at 8. And then he is joined by Ralph Garman on stage for Hollywood Babylon at 10.
Yes. And Bean, I want to say you're much thinner in person.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
You pictured him fatter?
Well, I just didn't picture him this thin.
Yeah,
like,
I hear
he's
you.
Like, I mean, you're sideways. I can't see you.
He's almost cut. Not here.
He's cut.
Yeah. It's almost like I'm not even in the room. Yeah. Hey, John, you were on Saturday Night Live for a number of years, what, 7, 8 years, something like that?
Actually, 5 years, yeah.
Was it only 5? Wow, how about that? Yeah. But you've been gone for some time. But you came back this year. You appeared on Saturday Night Live a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, Dana Carvey was hosting the show, and they asked me to do a little cameo in his monologue, and I had an amazing time. It was very emotional to be back there and see there's only a few people left on the crew that were there when I was there, but it was great to see all of them. And Mike Myers was there, and it was just, and we were, Mike and I were talking, and we're like, isn't this, it's like surreal, like we're back. Because when I saw it, you have Dane and Mike, it's like we're like no time passed.
Yeah, right.
And it was really fun, and the cast couldn't have been nicer, and they were all really, really talented. They've been there. I thought they'd been there. What have you been there? Like 3 years, 4 years? No, 9 years.
Wow.
8 years. They were there way longer than me. Wow. And, I mean, they were super nice. Everybody. Lauren was great. It was really. It was very special for me.
I imagine in a show like Saturday Night Live that's now been on the air for over 35 years, everybody always is excited when the people who used to be on come by. I mean, I'm sure when you were there, you know, Eddie Murphy and guys like that, whoever had been gone from your show would visit, and it would be a thrill as well.
Well,
right?
I remember the second show I ever did, Chevy Chase hosted it. So it was thrilling. You know, it's like, oh, this is the guy who used to be here. And then when Dan Aykroyd he came by that year and did a sketch. He played Bob Dole. And we were, you know, it was like, oh, this is the show, you know, that I grew up watching, and then here he is. And then he took us all out to the Hard Rock Cafe, and he bought us a meal. We were all dead broke. He bought us dinner and then gave us all these jackets. And Jan Hooks and I looked at each other like, who is this guy? We don't even know him. This is like the nicest guy ever. And he was. And then I got to do a movie with him playing his brother, and he was so fantastic to me. I mean, he's the best Dan Aykroyd. It was, and
did he buy you another jacket?
No, you know what he did though. I had this trailer. I didn't care, but it was just an old trailer. By old, I mean a homeless guy used to live in it and then donated it to the studio.
Okay.
So, but I was just thrilled. You know, I'm on the lot at 20th Century Fox, and I'm in a movie with Dan Aykroyd and Kim Basinger. I get to kiss Kim Basinger. I was like that. You know, I was thrilled. And so, anyway, I was in Dan's trailer and. I said, oh, you have a TV. That's cool. And he goes, "Why, you don't have a TV in your trailer?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "No, you're kidding, right?" I'm like, "No, I don't have one." I go, "I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I think it's neat that you have one." He goes, "You don't have a trailer in your... Let me see your trailer." So he comes over and he goes, "I can't believe this." Next day, I had this new trailer, the TV, air conditioning, kitchen. Yeah, I mean, it was great.
Wow.
Most people leave Saturday Night Live to go to the movies. Is that why you left?
I did. I got a chance to be in this movie that was like the funniest script that I'd read, and called Mom and Dad Save the World. I thought they wrote the part for me. But I didn't want to leave. I would have had to miss two shows the first season, and then... And Lauren said, "Well," he goes, "you can't miss shows. You know, it's not fair to the others." So I had to make a choice. And
that's his rule, is that you can't miss.
Well, that was
any?
His rule then, yeah. And I was very I love Lauren, but I was very angry at the time because I just thought, you know, my contract's up. It's 5 years. And I go, you know, I'll make the shows up. But he's like, "No." And, you know, Belushi and Ackroyd, they worked it out. And I'm like, "Well, the guy's saying he won't do it." I was supposed to do A League of Their Own and Mom and Dad Save the World that summer. And then come back to the show.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, all I wanted to do back then, I just wanted to work, work, work. It was so I was thrilled. And then League of Their Own was postponed, and then, or they weren't going to make it. And then they made it, end up making it a year later. And then this movie got pushed, and they said, "Well, we can't work on the schedule." So I was like, "Well, what do I do?" And they called me up, and they said, "There's going to be these big statues of whoever plays the part." I'm like, "Oh." Big statues of me.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know what to do because I thought this movie, I think it'll be a huge hit, and then what? And then, because 5 years before I was supposed to do a movie of my liar character, and that didn't happen. So I feel like here's another opportunity for me, and now I can't do it again. I'm like, you know. But and then it ended up being that the movie didn't get released for 2 years, and it was released for a week, and you know I should have stayed on the show.
How can you know that?
Needed to be a sad.
You don't know.
I'm
you know. Retrospect.
How can you know that?
And then I remember about 10 shows later, I'd be in New York, and they kept asking me to come on the show. Like Al Franken would call here. I'm in town. He was Senator Franken. Al Franken. Yeah, Senator sure. Franken would say, "John, can you? Oh, you're in town. Can you do this sketch? Okay." And I kept going back. And then one time I went back, and Lauren goes, "Well, you could have missed shows." I'm like,
What?
Lauren, I'd have been here still.
You might still be on Saturday Night Live had you not gone to take that movie.
Yeah, and then I get a call at the end of the season. Mind you, every time in New York they're calling me, the end of the season, Brad Gray, who was my manager, he's now the head of Paramount. Brad goes, "Oh, John, Lauren called. They're going to do a sketch tonight." And Lauren said, they love you. It's just a joke.
What?
I'm like, "What? What is it?" He goes, "I don't know." I'm like, So I'm watching the show. It's the end of the season.
They were giving you a heads up because it's going to be making fun of you, kind of?
Oh, yeah. So Dennis Miller, it's his sixth season, so it's the cold opening. And Lauren and Dennis, so Lauren's saying, "So, Dennis, you're really going to leave?" "Yeah." "You sure?" He goes, "Yeah, this is it." He goes, "Well, you're not going to keep coming back like Lovitz, are you?" It's pathetic. And I was like, "What?
Sweet.
You keep calling me. Come on.
You keep, yeah, right."
Fascinating stories.
But, well, you know, Ralph, I mean, to be on that show was a thrill of a lifetime. I still can't believe I was on it. And the whole time I was on it, I couldn't say, "Yeah, I'm on Saturday Night Live." I couldn't get it out. I go, "Yeah, I'm on Saturday Night Live." Literally, I couldn't. I was so overwhelming.
It was too big a deal for you? You mean that?
Well, it was an... Yeah, it was just another... It was like dreamland. I never thought I'd be in that show.
Right.
And I finally... I was in the Groundlings, and we got on the... did a new show in January of 85. In March, they put us... Jim McCauley, who, God rest his soul, is the guy who... He found every comedian that was on The Tonight Show back in the 80s. I mean, it was him.
Right.
Seinfeld, Letterman. He gave everybody their break on The Tonight Show. But anyway, he put the Groundlings on, and it got me an agent. So my agent said, "How about Saturday Night Live?" Because there's all this press. Lauren was coming back to the show. And I'm like, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "No, I'm serious." I go, "I have a better idea. Why don't I land on Pluto?" "Why don't I do that?" He goes, "No, I'm serious." I'm like, "Will you shut up? It's ridiculous." Because it was Pluto. It was another world.
It was just
where those
unfathomable.
People lived. You
right.
know? And, yeah,
right. They weren't you. Right.
But Lorraine Newman recommended me. She'd been in the Groundlings and saw me. And I got a movie with Charles Grodin. And he recommended me in it. And it was just... I don't know. I got very, very lucky. You know.
It's a fascinating show business story. Ralph, will you continue this conversation at the Hollywood Babylon on Saturday night?
No.
Sounds like there's a lot of stories to be told is what I'm saying.
No, I've had an ass full of it.
That's kind of it. Yeah, and then I worked.
Love it, sir, yeah?
It's going to be just me.
And then the rest of the story is, and then I worked.
And now he's doing Hollywood Babylon, and he still can't get that out. He has his Hollywood Babylon.
Doing Hollywood Babylon. Doing my and now I've been doing stand-up for the last 7 years. I do my stand-up comedy show.
Go to johnlovinscomedyclub.com
for
tickets. And what's your website, Ralph? I always forget. Babylon Ralph?
BabylonRalph.com, or you can go to thejohnlovitzcomedyclub.com as well.
And that'll be this Saturday night at Universal City.
I hope you guys are coming. It's very funny. Bean.
This weekend.
Yeah. Is Bean your real name? Is that your first name or your last name?
No, it's a nickname. It's a childhood nickname.
We don't know why. He has never come up with a good story for that.
Are you? Right. Oh, never mind.
Don't say. Thanks. Yes. I know what you're thinking.
Yes, he's not. Thank you.
You guys understand, this time tomorrow, the royal wedding will be behind us. It already happened. We won't have that to look forward to anymore. It's like Christmas is come and gone. Then what?
Can't wait.
Then New Year's?
I don't know how we're going to get by in a world where the royal wedding isn't all we're talking about.
Can't wait.
All right, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Nothing can be wrong when Gary Busey's involved.
Correct?
Very happy to announce that Gary has been cast in Piranha 3DD, the sequel to Piranha 3D. No word yet on what role he will be playing. I hope it's the Pepperoni Prophet. That's all I can pull for. But, yeah, he's in that new movie. Here's the thing. You do those goofy reality shows, it raises your public profile again, and people start hiring you.
Yeah.
That's why celebrities do them. Look at Gary. He's working. More movie news. Remember The Fighter? You saw that with Mark Wahlberg,
sure,
right?
Sure. Good.
Played Mickey Ward in that. Remember, Melissa Leo won her Oscar for playing Alice Ward, who was his mom and his manager as well. Well, she passed away yesterday. She died yesterday morning after lapsing into a coma and was taken off of life support. She had a stroke in January. She's been in rough shape since then. In fact, she was technically dead for 45 minutes and they brought her back.
Wow!
Yeah.
Dude.
But she did get to see the movie about her sons, which premiered a month earlier in Lowell, Massachusetts. So at least she saw that before she passed, so. Something to be said.
That's pretty cool.
And more movie news. This comes from a British video rental service called Love Film. They say there's a good chance the movie snobs in your life are lying to you about classic films they haven't seen. They've had a list of the top 10 movies people claim to have seen, but haven't really.
Oh, that's funny. So you think more of...
They want to be hip and cool and be considered movie literate, so they lie about having seen these 10 films the most.
Okay. Right. Let me make a note so I can lie about these.
Number 10, The Great Escape. One of my favorite films about a World War II concentration camp, or a POW camp, rather, with Steve McQueen and James Garner, a great cast of guys.
Kevin, this is where you jump in and say, I saw that.
Yeah. I saw that.
Goodfellas, ninth on the list.
That I did see.
People lie about seeing Goodfellas. Blade Runner was eighth. Apocalypse Now, seventh on the list.
Okay, let me stop you there, Ralph. And this is confusing to me. When I saw this list, I thought, why would people lie about some of these movies rather than just see them because they really are great? These aren't like hoity-toity, like fancy-schmancy movies that they don't understand that people just watch to be cool. These are legitimately great movies.
Because they are Kevin.
How dare you?
Because they say, I've got so much to do. I'm so busy. I can't.
Liar!
I have to hurry up and go to sleep in my car. I've got things to do. And so when people are talking about it and say, oh my God, Blade Runner, one of the greatest science fiction films ever. The Kevins of the world say, oh, you're absolutely right. I love that. Yeah. They're just lying liars who lie.
Those are my peeps.
Liar!
Those are my peeps.
Apocalypse Now is seventh. This is Spinal Tap is sixth.
Oh, great movie.
You've seen that one you have seen, right, Kevin?
I don't think I've seen that one.
What?
What was that noise?
Have you not seen Spinal Tap?
Did you make that noise?
Someone stepped on Bean's tail.
I think I've seen parts of it on TV.
Is it the funniest comedy ever made, Ralph?
No.
It's certainly one of them.
It has to be close.
Comedy
no.
Ever.
Well, The Hangover is great. Don't get me wrong. But how would you not see Spinal Tap?
All right, I saw it then, Bean.
This is why people put so much pressure on you. They want to sound like they're hip and in with the in crowd when it comes to movies, so they lie about having seen these films.
Liar!
Reservoir Dogs, fifth on the list.
That I did see.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Didn't see that. But I need to lie about it.
Taxi Driver.
Didn't see that one.
Third on the.
But
you've never
sure
seen Taxi
good.
Driver?
Oh, I did. I'm just kidding. It's really
that
good.
Was one, it's one of the greatest American films of the 70s, Taxi Driver.
So I'm supposed to lie about these?
Okay, I saw
yes, you're supposed to lie about these.
People like
really
you do.
Good.
Casablanca.
That I have
greatest
seen.
Film love story of all time. You've seen Casablanca?
I have, because my wife loves it.
With Humphrey Bogart yes. and Ingrid Bergman? That Casablanca?
Yes.
Not like
you
know the porn, not the porn the remake or something?
No.
Not Casapoca
I
or
did
something?
See that.
Kevin, you knew Casablanca was in black and white when you agreed to watch it, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Or was that just a bad surprise for you?
Yeah, it was a bad surprise.
And what do you think the number one movie most people lie about having seen is, according to this survey? Number one film. If you want to seem like you know what you're talking about when it comes to movies, you lie and say you saw this.
Reds.
Ooh, good guess, but not number one.
Oh. I don't know. I don't have any other guesses. For some reason, Reds is the only movie that came to my mind.
Muggs, you have a guess?
Driving Miss Daisy.
No, not trash. You don't get to guess anymore.
Bean, you have a guess, or have you seen the list?
Yeah, I did. I recused myself.
The Godfather. The Godfather is the movie most people lie about having seen.
That's a great movie.
It is a great film. But if you're in a room full of people and they all start saying, isn't The Godfather one of the greatest films ever? You don't want to look like a douchebag, so you go, yes, loved it.
It sure is.
See it all the time. Especially that part where they all are Italian and they all eat that Italian food.
And they're all having that Italian food dinner?
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jay Leno is 61, Mary McDonnell is 58, Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth turns 58 as well, Bridget Moynihan is 40, Jorge Garcia of Lost Fame is 38, Penelope Cruz is 37, Jessica Alba is 30, and Harry Shum Jr. and Jenna Ushkowitz, both from Glee. He plays Mike Chang. She plays Tina on that show, 29 and 25, respectively. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the K.
Driving Miss Daisy.
I just want to interrupt real quick. Chip is telling me we have one more pair of tickets to go see Thor.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Oh. If you have 1 second to slip it in there real quick.
World premiere. Red carpet world premiere of Thor. It's going to be an amazing event with amazing cast. The cast and crew will all be there. You'll be there, too, if you're one of the first two callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. You get to see the red carpet world premiere of a movie we're all looking forward to called Thor.
Back to you, Kevin.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. Although, I got to be honest, producer Dave is not producer Alex. So,
no.
It's possible that we're going to have Josh Jackson talking about Fringe,
woo!
Which has been great.
Oh, boy.
It's possible that we're going to have Jim Jefferies.
Woo!
It's possible that we're going to have Phil Rosenthal. About exporting Raymond. He was one of the creators of Everybody
Loves Raymond. Documentary.
And it's possible we're going to have the movie beat. We're not positive on any of that.
I think I'm in control of that one. I think I can guarantee
that.
I don't
know. I think Dave can screw it up.
All right.
Dave doesn't exactly nail things down in advance, does he?
No. Oh, Rich Eisen can't be on the phone again.
Here's what I'm telling you is that you're going to have to roll the dice on tomorrow's show.
It's not my fault.
It might happen. It might be good. And it's all tomorrow morning on the news.